Immigration and diversity in that sense is, in the long run for a country, a tremendous asset.
What's the aim of multiculturalism?
What's it, that we all live together in a harmonious society,
is it a
productive
journey?
Society.
Is it a journey or a destination? When are we multicultural enough? When? When's the end?
It doesn't end, believe it or not.
W Street in Old Anacostia, rural, historic significance, charm, in the city.
Extra pretty row houses and all the trees and the hills. And then as I explored it, when I was looking for houses, the people were very nice. You know, they would say hello and ask you how you were doing.
So when she moved into the century-old row house, it seemed a perfect fit. And it was, then this happened. Those are DiBernardo's packages. That's obviously not her picking them up.
You've done it all. Lighting, bars, even a home security system.
So diversity in general is an asset. On the other hand, in the short run, doing diversity is difficult. It's not easy, and it doesn't do any good for those of us who are in favor of immigration and diversity to hide the fact that in the short run, diversity causes turmoil.
And even with a security camera above the door, this package thief wasn't deterred.
That camera is so obvious, so it's like she knew there wasn't a consequence.
It wasn't the first time there's been an unexpected, unwanted visitor. This rear door was tampered with once, and then again, this glass was broken in an attempt to get into the house. She's only been living here since March.
This is the third incident, and they're using my house like their house, let's face it, you know, and they have an eye on my house because it's the newly renovated house on the block.
After millions of years of evolution, suddenly, within 200 years, the family and the intimate community break, they collapse. Most of the roles fulfilled by the family and by the intimate community for thousands and tens of thousands of years are transferred very quickly to new networks provided by the state and the market. You don't need children, you can have a pension fund. You don't need somebody to take care of you, you don't need neighbors and sisters or brothers to take care of you when you're sick. The state takes care of you.
That's what she told police. She says the initial response left something to be desired.
You knew you were moving to an unsafe neighborhood. What did you expect?
She went to social media with that and, in short order, a different response.
The police commander called me and apologized and said that, you know, there should have been follow-up for the first time.
Since then, detectives have been assigned to her case, and she's gotten additional security measures installed. She reluctantly put bars on the windows, though she's not crazy about the message it sends, and she knows she's not unique in her experience, be it among new residents or longtime residents.
Someday I may have them taken down, but probably not for years to come.
In the short run, diversity causes turmoil and upsets everybody. It also causes anxiety on the part of the receiving population. What our own research shows is that in the short run, I sometimes say diversity brings out the turtle in all of us. It causes us to hunker down, to pull in, to not want to be involved.
Until history ends.
There's no more white people left?
History ends and doesn't change.
If you're a white liberal leftist or consider yourself to be a white ally, I have a challenge for you. Don't create any more content on TikTok until September 22nd. And honestly, you deserve a break because every day is a white person day and y'all must be exhausted. So while you sit back, listen, learn, and truly decenter yourself, Black, Indigenous, and other people of color, we got it from here.
In the long run, diversity is this big advantage. In the short run, it's difficult. So the challenge for any immigrant society is to figure out how you make the transition from the initial stages, which are difficult, to the final stage in which you begin to have the benefits of all those, of all that diversity.
People today actually manage to live, many people, as isolated, alienated individuals. In the most advanced societies, many people live as alienated individuals with no community to speak about, with a very small family. It's no longer the big extended family. It's now a very small family, maybe just a spouse, maybe one or two children, and even they might live in a different city, in a different country, and you see them maybe once in every few months, and that's it.
The real task for a successful immigrant society is to create a more encompassing sense of us, to make the we no longer defined by DNA, but defined by our shared values. Because people have to learn to live with people with whom they don't look like each other, but they share values. And that's what Americans gradually and slowly over time have learned.
What's the aim of multiculturalism?
What's it, that we all live together in a harmonious society?
Is it a journey? Is it a journey or a destination? When are we multicultural enough? When? When's the end?
It doesn't end, believe it or not.
Like,
until
what?
For you, history ends.
There's no more white people left?
History ends and doesn't change.
Our granddaughter named Miriam. Miriam's father is Miriam's mother is our daughter. Miriam's father is a Costa Rican immigrant. If Miriam were standing here beside me, everybody would say, well, she's Latino. She's not, how could she possibly be his granddaughter? He looks pink and she looks brown because she looks a little different from me. Thank goodness she looks different from me.
In terms of ideas, in terms of religions, the most interesting place today in the world, in religious terms, is Silicon Valley. It's not the Middle East. This is where the new religions are being created now by people like Ray Kurzweil. And these are the religions that will take over the world.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us here today, 29th of July, 2022. Hope you're having a wonderful, diverse afternoon or evening or a night or maybe morning, depending on where you are. Yes, diversity and multiculturalism, it's going great. Don't you think so, Lana?
Diversity is your strength.
Yes.
Diversity is
Repeat
your strength.
The mantra. It's kind of funny.
No,
I like Putnam there, though. It's kind of funny, isn't it?
Goblin
yeah,
man.
Yeah, the little goblin. Yeah. Oof, man. It causes us to hunker down. It's disappear. We shrink in and stop participating in society.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah, isn't that
Sign
great?
Me up.
But you know, long term, it's gonna be much better. Long term, you got to think about the bigger picture here. You know. So it'll be great. We'll all be mixed out, and it'll be peace, right? That's what it is.
I love how they always say, it just takes a couple generations.
Yeah, it takes
and
a
then,
while.
You know, yeah. Once we get over all that criminality and fighting and all that, it's just going to be perfect.
Years? 150 years?
100 years, it'll be perfect
yeah,
for me.
And then, but
right.
then in those 100 years, you check in again. Is it perfect now, or is it... kind of more like South Africa now, all over the West. Is it perfect now? No.
Yeah, we're going to talk about South Africa in a little bit.
Yeah, we have a lot to go into here today. We're going to talk about the energy situation relating to South Africa, too. And, of course, the usual some anti-white themes today coming through. And, of course, excuse me, who can forget? Shlong COVID. It's been renamed. We'll go into that later.
Box.
And yes, then we're actually going to talk about chemtrails as well.
Good old blast from the past. It's back,
trails.
Baby. Back and it's
something trails.
It's mainstream
anyway,
now.
A conspiracy regarding that. But yeah, so guys, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you. Check out some of the latest stuff we got up. We did a F-scale test here.
Hilarious.
That's up on redicemembers.com right now. It's exclusive up there.
You should take it with us too. Take the test with us while you're watching it because it's fun that way.
Yeah, so check that out. That's up on redicemembers.com. And as you can see right there, our show with Asker Svart is up as well. Check that out. It's a two-parter, actually, in the members section. But the first part of that, which is a good, like, almost an hour show, that's going up on the main channels and redice.tv a little bit later tonight or possibly earlier tomorrow, depending on how the
schedule
flows.
He did a great job with his, he has a thick Siberian accent, but he still did a great job and he warms up into it. But excellent book.
It gets easier listening through. In the beginning, it's a little hard.
It's always that
because
way.
Of the accent. But
yeah,
you kind of get
And also, I find when people don't speak English a lot, they warm up a little bit and then they get into, like, any... foreign language.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Absolutely. All right, guys. If you want to join in today in the show, enterprestream.live/redicetv. That's a good option. Also, Odyssey is open. See, you guys are joining in over there. And Rumble, that's open as well. I got to have a window open on that so we can check that. And we have a crypto option, CoinTree, as well. Otherwise, I think, why don't we take a couple of these, huh? So we can, before we dive into the topics here.
Lord Aragon says, yep, I'm right with you guys on that commie F-test. Guess I'm a fascist then. I'm proud of it.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's a fascist, according to,
oh my gosh.
To their standards, right?
The Ferryman's Toll. Cheers, Henrik and Lana. Great intro. I mean, it's a horrifying intro, but was well cut. Enjoyed the F-test as well.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I threw that together here right before the show real quick. It's a big mess. Michael57DE over on Odyssey with $14.88. I have no idea what that means. Thank you, Michael. Hail, Henrik and Lana. May the gods bless you and yours. Hail the gods. Hail our folk. 14 words. Thank you, Michael. It's always good to see you, man. All right. So Why don't we begin on that? Yeah. You want to introduce
this? There's
this
funny
here?
Clip. My bestie, shout out to you. You know who you are. Sent me this clip. Now, it's a little older, but still funny. I was thinking if there was an updated version, it's probably even more frightening. Am I pregnant? You'll get it. You'll get it as the clip goes. So we laugh pretty hard when we watch this.
There we go.
Enjoy.
Get your pantaloons ready.
Am I pregnant? Am I pregnant? Am I pargant? Am I pregnant? Am I pegnate? Help? Is there a possibility that I'm pregnant? Am I pregnant or am I okay? Could I be pregonate? How do I know if I'm prengan? Can I be pregnant? Can ooh get pregante? Can ooh bleed while ooh are pergert? Can ooh down a 20-foot water slide pegnat? How can I get my GF pregnant? What happen when
probably
get
shouldn't be
perginat? How can a 9-year-old get pregnant? Will my get pregnan? What is the best time to sex to become pregnant? Does anyone know how many teens get pregnant a year? Are these systems of being pregnant? Girlfriend ain't had periods since she got pregat. Is it possible having sex to a 8 months pregnant? If a woman has starch marks on her... Wait. If a woman has starch masks on her body, does that mean she has been pregnant before... That. Period
profile
question mark.
There,
my
yeah.
circle is normal, but yet I still don't get pregnant. What can I use? Period question mark. Has
what?
Anybody got pregnant
you know
by just pre-cum while using
it.
Birth control? Did most you women feel pregnant before find out? I am pregnant last 5 weeks, so can I start sex? Danger ops. Prangent sex. Will it hurt baby top of his head? Oh. Me and my boyfriend are trying to get prefnat.
Oh,
and
please
you
don't.
Haven't took my birth control in 12 days? 38 plus 2 weeks? Pregnant? I think my dog is pregnant. Can I get bringt if he had a condom on? How long can Ugo...
Condom, that's glorious.
Oh, being pregnant to get an abortion. I think I'm pregnant with my 14th child. Can you burn a Luigi board?
Anyway... these people probably shouldn't be getting pregnant, you know?
Thank God they took care of that abortion issue, right?
Holy shit.
the best and the brightest amongst us, folks.
Oh,
yes.
My God.
All right. Well, that was fun. I enjoyed that. That was funny.
On to other news.
Speaking of diversity, yes.
Well, we all know the beach is racist, right? Naturally, because
always.
White people like to go and lay in the sand to get vitamin D from the sun. They like to swim in the ocean. So move over, whites. It's Black Girl Beach Day to reclaim aquatic spaces.
Aquatic spaces?
Because I guess they were banned from the ocean. So let me read this. About... Black Girl Beach Day is a beach event centered around women and girls of color, promotes solidarity, inclusivity, and sisterhood among black identifying persons. What if I identify? Can I go? In all shapes and sizes, and exists to reclaim oceanic and aquatic spaces. This event was born in summer 2017, blah, blah, blah. Starting as a meetup with just 30 girls, it expanded to include a range of hosts, DJs, community leaders, arts and wellness facilitators, and thousands of patrons. What else to say? Black Girl Beach Day has become a fun summer staple and bonding experience for women of color on the East Coast where they can tan, swim, and slay in harmony. Slay. So let's just scroll down this page. Check out some pictures. let's see. What do they have going? Oh, yeah. And then let's go to the events page because that's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
Sponsored by, let's see, that's on the top. Let me scroll down.
BlackRock?
Yeah. Don't miss summer's
Pfizer.
Hottest link at Black Girl Beach Day at, this is funny, Chicken Bone Beach. Is that fried chicken bone beach? Yes. I don't know. Sponsored by Kettle One and REI. If you scroll down, you'll see. But there's facilitators. They have stretch and meditation. They have dance. They have a double Dutch aerobics. Well, that's cultural appropriation. Scroll down. Keep scrolling down.
All
keep
right,
scrolling down.
God.
They have spiritual workshops
nice.
And creative crafts. I'm sure they're doing lots of crafts there.
Yeah.
Surf workshops. Wait a minute. Black girls surf? I mean, I thought black girls didn't even like the ocean. I must be honest
well, that's
here.
Why they
I mean, like blacks,
space.
We know, like we're, you know, joke around about, like they don't even like nature and swimming, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The sea, they have, spiritual meditation workshops and all this like foo-foo crap and they're dancing and all this. But I found some footage of it too, where you can see what they do, what they really do. Oh. Hang out on the beach, you know? This is, it all boils down to this. So they can go to the beach to be free of judgment or harm. Yes, because so many blacks are attacked by white people on the beach. But this is all they did. They didn't swim. They didn't surf. I didn't see any, like, spiritual retreats or whatever. Whatever it is. Here you go. There it is.
Nice. All right. Okay. I mean, it's kind of funny when you think about how white people can't have anything. We can't even exist. It's problematic that we exist, right? Oh, just generally. I mean not
white
even in this.
White girl beach day? What if we had that? Or like blonde white girl beach day, and it was just like nothing but blondes out there in bikinis, right? Or skinny white blonde beach day. Oh, my God. Can you imagine the press around that?
I think it'd be pretty popular, actually.
Well, it would
be.
It would be. They would want to stare at all those girls, of course, but they'd be putting it down like, oh, my God, the racism, this white supremacy.
How did you find this anyway?
Someone sent it to me. Shout out to you, by the way. Obviously, I'm not going and Googling a black girl beach day, but this is like reclaiming the ocean and aquatics. Like, everything is just more racism and drama and my body and accept me. Like, no one gives a shit. Like,
where is this, Atlantic City? Oh, they
we lived in the South. We saw blacks in aquatic spaces all the time. Like, no one is stopping them from going to the beach.
There you go. Yeah. Well, they gotta have my race, right? It's gonna be that first and foremost. Good for
another black girl news. Last week, we reported on how the NYPD was finally going to investigate an anti-white hate crime, even though this happens on a daily basis, as we know. But this was the first that we've heard of them actually pursuing it, right? So, a 57-year-old white woman was hit over the head. She received this large gash on her head on the bus. Three black teen girls attacked her because they didn't like the way white people talk and can't stand them. Well, the victim was identified as Jill LaCroix, and she said, "Before they hit me, the girl with the green hair said, 'You probably like Trump, don't you?' And then she said, 'I love him. I didn't see which one hit me first.'" LaCroix's daughter added, "The one with the green hair, she was saying she hates white people, the way they talk, hates white skin, the way their skin cracks, saying she was gangsta." She recalled being the only white person on the bus. So that explains why no one stepped in to help this old lady, right?
It's hard short term, but long term, it'll be great for her, right?
She said, "By the time we started passing St. John's Cemetery, she started in on me saying," the black girl said, "'That's where I'm going to bury you.' She had a bag from Bath and Body Works." Hey, that's white supremacy culture there. "And she took out a scrub and said she was going to beat me with it," LaCroix said. "It was a tangerine," she said. "You're going to get what you deserve. All white people are going to get what they deserve." Isn't diversity mixed with this constant anti-white hate in the media, education, entertainment? Isn't this turning out great for us? Well, two of the three black girls were identified. No names were given. They were supposedly charged with a hate crime, but we can probably be sure that nothing's going to happen, right? They're probably going to get a slap on the wrist. We don't know what the charges actually are. Are they going to get a record? Are they going to pay a fine? They're probably just going to walk away. But crime overall, from small to big offenses, is up 37% in New York City.
Jeez.
So any articles that give this story like a little blurb, then they go on to talk about, yeah, well, there's hate crimes against other races too, because, you know, they can't be racist, just covering this story about this white woman who was viciously attacked, right?
Maybe you mentioned this, but was this the article where they actually had anti-white
originally
they changed that? Okay.
No, it was the first article, and then
it's there.
You don't need anti-white in quotes is anti-white when people are saying, "I hate white people.
I want to kill white people." Yeah, it was like Daryl Brooks Jr. Remember that story? Buried like nothing else. Open hate crime, and then of course you can have, you can have someone who's just disagreeing on an issue on the internet charged with hate crimes. Well, you know, federal hate crime charges. Let me take these real quick here. What do we have? We had. Oh, can I knock on the side? Portent. Let's do these real quick there. Portents on Odyssey says, "Thank you for that. Don't appreciate that. As mass immigration has become a critical component in the expansion of nation-state economies, it is reasonable to conclude that anti-whiteism will only end when we change our economic systems." Well, But it's still...
Partially.
No, because it's incredibly draining on the financial resources. We've showed the headlines many, many times how Denmark saves 300 million by having slightly stricter immigration rules compared to like Sweden or Norway, for example, or Sweden primarily. But the point is... No, it's not. I mean, I know it's like the growth idea, right? I guess it's like, oh, it's everything is growing and you borrow more. There could be something to that, that it's just as long as you kind of keep blowing up the balloon, so to speak, to make an analogy, like as long as it's expanding and you do that, of course, with more people, you can kind of keep the charade going. But eventually it's going to crash regardless, right? You can't stop that. Finkelstein, thank you, says... Huge white bill. White women surfing video is rated G. Okay, I got to check that out. Differences between us. Is that part of the... That's part of the link there. Okay, I'll check out that link in a little bit. And we had one more here from... who was
Yes,
that
surfing
again?
Is very white.
It is. Tommy Cat says, most of them are afraid... Speaking of that black people on the beach story, most of them are afraid
black
of water
summer.
And can't
that's
swim.
That's what I was saying. Like, come ever, on. Like, they're going to be doing water aerobics in the ocean. Yeah, right.
Did you ever hear about the theory of the aquatic monkey? Do you remember that? Like, they're claiming that at some point along, like, the evolutionary track, we lived, like, very close to the ocean. We were half, like, living half into the water almost, right? The I think it's just what they call that. It's, like, boiled down if you Google, like, aquatic ape
so, like,
theory
mermaids?
Or something. No, but, I mean... They claim that we developed quite, with a deep connection to the ocean. But the point is that could kind of show the divergence of like that disproves the out of Africa theory for one, right? That it's different strands of development overall, because you actually have some races that are very bad at like swimming and being in water and handling water, while some seem very proficient.
White people,
in it,
yeah,
for example.
We love water.
Anyway, check that out. It's kind of interesting. I think it's called something like that, aquatic ape theory. You search for that. You should come up there.
It's kind of getting racist there.
Well, I mean,
that too with the black women on the beach there.
We are the aquatic monkeys. That's what I mean. Because we're like, look at us surf and stuff, right?
I saw Mustix Carillion said aquatic sheboons sounds like a nightmare.
Oh boy.
Mick Dozer says, I've noticed that white folk are starting to wake up and the pendulum is starting to swing in the other direction. Let's accelerate.
Slowly, slowly. Now the big question is, how do we ensure that pendulum doesn't swing back later on? You know what I mean? It just can stay there
yeah.
this time.
I'm tired of it.
It's going to swing our direction
that.
And then we'll stop.
I mean, I understand like a great big cycle, like a Kali Yuga, like we talked about with my guest there and the cycle of death and rebirth and the great initiation. I get that. But I hate this just like jarring back and forth. It's like, can we actually get it to go all the way around?
That's revolution, right? That's also kind of dumb because then we just turn out where we were. Prior. So I'm saying.
Yeah,
like,
but can we ever get away from that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
At least the communist, the anti-white liberal part, at least get away from that part.
The anti-white stuff, the fall of empires, can we get away from that part, right?
RoboThing says two black teenagers try to rob a white guy, but he disarms and body slams the kid, and the kid starts squealing like a bitch. Okay, we'll pull that up later. TikTok.
Was that a link?
It's a link there, yeah.
Oh, I missed that. Okay, gotcha. Okay, thanks. I'll check that out. Okay. Did you have a couple more there?
I'll get to Jared Cherusker in a little bit, because I want to get into the next one while we're here.
Sure, go ahead.
Another anti-white hate crime. Well, actually, a hate murder just took place, but the killer won't be charged for a hate crime. It's just a random act of violence, right? It always is when it happens to us. A black murderer isn't racist, even if he is out there saying, I hate white people, when he's doing it because the victim
Darryl
isn't
Burks.
Alive to tell us, right? Yep. Well, Brianna Kupfer, she's 24, I think you can see a picture of her, cute girl, was working at this high-end furniture store in L.A. called Croft House. It's in a nice area. I'm familiar with the store in this area. When Sean Laval Smith, 31, began lurking around the store checking her out, she sent a text to her boss to tell her boss that she was getting a bad vibe about this guy. Well, the boss didn't see it until 10 minutes later, and 10 minutes later, she was already dead.
She was already dead, yeah.
A customer found her body.
Instinct.
She was stabbed 11 times in the chest, twice in the abdomen, right leg, right arm, 5 times in her left arm, 3 times in her left leg, and once in her pelvis. Tell me that is not an act of hate, that you're stabbing someone this much, right?
Yeah.
Sean this guy, allegedly exited the store through a back door without taking anything. He didn't steal anything. And then later was just casually walking down the street. This is what the police said back in January. No surprise, this anti-white psycho killer has this extensive criminal history. But, you know, it's just because of white supremacy and all that, right? Oh, yeah. So the anti-white murder happened in broad daylight in a nice area. He singled her out and murdered her, stabbing her 26 times. But for liberals, I am the problem for pointing this out, right? That it was an anti-white killing. I had liberals attacking me on Twitter about that when I called it an anti-white killing. Like, hello, are you reading the story at all?
Yep.
But if a white person happens to kill a black person, even if it's in self-defense, we all know it's always called a hate crime.
It's even a white person yelling at a black person. A white person saying hello in the wrong way in a store. That's literally, they're calling the cops on white people now, right?
Yeah.
And it's being spun up because of this, like, you know, the anti-white rhetoric in the media. And then they say, oh, look at this racist white woman. She thinks... She called the cops on someone. Yeah, but maybe that's for a reason, right? Do you remember seeing that ad?
Should have called the cops. Well, and then
Wouldn't have happened. That's what I'm saying. Instinct.
She had it. Just listen, leave, girl. You felt it.
Yeah.
Don't text your boss.
No.
Just leave.
Get out. Leave.
You have to be in touch with your gut feeling, especially this day and age. Never relax. Always watch your back, even in nice areas. Okay, it doesn't matter.
Even in white areas.
Everywhere
these days, there's lunatics. There's mad people.
Yeah,
there's
all
people
kinds of insanity.
Meds, there's psycho people.
So if it's not diverse. It could be some crazy leftist or someone or someone vaxxed having a heart attack that
always
runs over your kids, you know.
Always expect, like, you don't have to be all, you know, pent up and weird about it, but just, like, be ready for the unexpected things to happen. That's just
And you should be, because crime is going up everywhere. L.A. has also seen a huge spike in overall crime.
Yeah.
So the more liberal, the less safe an area becomes. We are seeing this trend. Portland, Seattle, all these, you know, coastal elite areas. It's just a fact, right?
Well,
meanwhile, all these white supremacist, racist areas, like where we live in northern Idaho, is one of the safest areas.
Yeah. And then, of course, more of those people will flee there, and then things begin to change. It's like a virus. It just spreads, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, they focus on that in the video portion under the story here, or adjacent to the story. Just regarding on the fact that 2020 is already on pace to break 2021 records, which was astronomically like an increase in homicides and violent crime and stuff like that. So it's
going
great.
You mean this year, 2022.
2022 is on par to break the 2021 levels that were already really high.
So the more diverse, the more liberal we get, the more crime we get.
Yep, that's good. It's good times, right?
Surprising.
Good times. Exactly, yep. So basically we have to... instinct, you have to teach, if you have daughters, sons, you have to teach them to, like, listen to that gut feeling, just get out, it's not worth it, we're living in uncertain times. They have to be like, hammer this into your kids, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's getting scary out there.
Yep. Oh yeah.
And there's towns like this next story we'll talk about, Orania. Now, I did an interview with someone on this. What is his name again? Addie Skuta. Yeah, I did this back in 2014. I had talked about Orania, and I saw that it was trending, which is it's a self-sufficient Afrikaner community. It's only 2,500 people. They're doing some really good stuff there, basically separating from all the madness in South Africa. Well, supporters of the violent communist anti-white ANC party in South Africa are now eyeing Orania in their next attack, because, as I said, it's a self-sufficient, thriving Afrikaner community that lives away from it all. Why? Not only to preserve their minority culture, but to not be singled out, have their farm stolen, and be brutally murdered, as we've seen violent, you know, farm murders of people in white people in South Africa.
It's state-sponsored, confiscation of farms and murder. The state is now looking the other way for this violence. They justify it. It's out of control.
Yeah, and he's part of Orania, by the way. But South Africa has paid a price for this anti-white policy. Now, you know, the black anti-white ANC party's in control. It's a disaster. Nothing is working. Right now, they're experiencing major energy cuts and rolling blackouts. But this remote whites-only farming town of Arania is so close to producing, being completely self-sufficient with electricity. In South Africa, it's the state that runs the energy giant Eskom, I think it's called Eskom, and they don't do it so well. So that's why they're having all these rolling blackouts. It's basically energy-starved South Africa right now.
Sorry to interrupt, but also remember that the infrastructure is being dismantled in the country as well, like cables, copper wires, pipes is being stolen. There's huge heist on actually taking the power lines themselves. So they have rolling blackouts, and for days on end, their whole area is out of power because people are coming. These roaming gangs are cutting them down and taking to sell it.
I just saw on Twitter there was like blacks that were like wishing they had white people like from Arania helping them solve some problems, you know, reigning again, because this ANC is just like, we knew that was going to happen.
Yeah,
but anyway,
anti-white commies.
The energy-starved South Africa, meanwhile, the small settlement of 2,500 people is the only town in South Africa close to reaching energy supply autonomy, freeing itself completely from any national power grid. This is going to be huge for them because they could do a lot with it. Let's see. They said, the solar farm is quite a huge game changer for us. It brings energy sustainability to the town, said Gawi Sinman, I think 43, who manages the municipality. Our big dream is to become an energy exporter. Okay, so they are separate. Wow. They're peaceful, they're independent, they're thriving, they're white. And that is the problem for all these haters, right? Now they're being accused of energy apartheid and energy racism. I shit you not. And there's chatter of expropriating, which is stealing, Orania land. As we've seen time and time again, they steal land, then it all goes to crap. But they continue to blame, you know, post-apartheid conditions or white supremacy when they fail. When they have all the power and all the control. It's they have everything right
still
now. Like, they're running everything.
They're still whitey.
And somehow it's still us holding them down. But I wanted to bring attention to a couple good tweets here.
Right.
Because they're starting to bring attention to, let's see, the first one. Yeah, so this tweet is in reference to a big radio show, and so they're trying to eye Arania. How do we still have an Arania in democratic South Africa? It was founded at the end of apartheid to preserve Afrikaner culture. Like, that's not a thing. As an exclusively white town, a whites-only town in South Africa allowed in 2022, make sense.
It's the current year, everybody.
Yeah, it's like they're not hurting anyone. They're minding their own business. They're thriving. Like, you people are murdering white people in South Africa. It's incredibly violent. The system is broken. Like, everything is falling apart. And you're going to worry about this little village, basically, of 2,500 people in the desert who are living and thriving. Yeah, because they can't show that. Next tweet, which is very good here from Ian. Arania's population is roughly 1,800. Out of 60 million people in South Africa, it's not even 10%, right? If your mind is occupied by this tiny minority, you should seek help. People don't hate them because they're exclusive, but because they thrive. And I would say, and because they're white and thriving, right?
Yep.
Next tweet, he says, Arania's population is 0.003% of South Africa's, yet chest pains in South Africa, the same number of people are murdered in just 1 month.
Yep.
Get a grip and deal with the real issues in the country. Absolutely, yes. And here's another good tweet, a black guy. It says, Arania is a model to be emulated. I'd much prefer to live in a community with people like myself with shared values, culture, ethnic mindset, ideals, etc. But there I am in a grotesque multicultural city. It's disgusting and never feels like home. We weren't all supposed to live together. And he actually has a lot of support. There's, you know, there's other people that feel that way. And there's also a lot of blacks who are calling out their own blacks, right? Yeah. For like all the violence and all these promises they make. And it's all going to hell. But no, let's go eye Arania, right? So now, like, that's probably going to be their thing in the next couple of years, going after Arania. And I was concerned about that, you know, because demographically, right, there's like, what, 1 billion Africans, right? And there's only 2,500 Afrikaners in this little village here.
Yep.
So they could quickly get surrounded, right?
Yeah, I want to show that story real quick there. Here's a headline, right? Cable thieves. Oh, that's kind of blocked there. What does it say here? Cable thieves in South Africa armed with AK-47s killing security guards. And it says here that it's over the electrical cables, right? City Power has said copper cable thieves have become heavily armed and target security guards in quieter parts of the city even. And of course, just a little reminder. Here's here's some of the lovely, call me anti-white people at the ANC here doing a little effigy of a burning a white baby, or hanging, I guess, a baby right there.
Brutally murdered infants and children. It's just, it's outrageous. Absolutely. It's so horrible.
And of course, meanwhile, there's plenty of white squatter camps and things like this, right? We've shown these pictures so many times, or we've done shows on this, and there's so much more to show on this. But yeah, those are the conditions. And of course, now, you know, poverty is something recognized for the white people in that situation down there. And it's overall not only shitty for them, it's like dangerously violent. You know what I mean? They're like murdered on a conveyor belt. And then the state is just like, yeah, we'll look the other way. They basically deserve it, right? We're not going to start killing white people just yet officially, but wait for it. They'll get there. Right?
Deuce Interest says, I heard their government is completely incompetent and the private sector is sustaining the country. Yes, it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. Did you want to take the
Let me do a couple more. XO, love your work. Yeah, keeps us on our toes, but don't stop having fun and expanding, folks. Just never relax around. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Any diversity. And I say, generally, these days, anywhere.
Yeah.
To be honest. I mean,
yeah, there's crazies all around
it's
us.
It's just getting wackier and wackier, right?
And then Jared Trusker says, the Jewish war in Ukraine and everything that is thrown at us, we must resist. The next two decades are decisive, and we must fight fanatically. The third position is the only political solution.
And I can read that in German if you want to. Who, if not we? When, where, if not here, and when, if not now, in German. Thank you. That sure is good. Appreciate that. Okay, so let me see here. Yeah, so check out that 314. And we've done a couple of shows. If you go to...
Yeah, we did a lot on South Africa
Red
years
Ice
ago.
TV, or, and or if you're a member, go to redicemembers.com. Just type in South Africa, and you get a good good chunk of shows that we've done on that. So speaking of the energy thing, of course, over to... Europe now a little bit, another part of the Western world, and the energy, the self-inflicted energy crisis is kind of set to kick off here. It basically already has in some countries. Spain tells worker to take off their ties. I guess, you know, if it's too tight, they get sweaty, they do away with your uniform, right? You might love the tie or not. That's not the point. The point is dress differently so that you don't have to use the AC. That's the message, right? To save electricity. Hanover, Germany, switches off hot water while German and Austrian cities turn off the lights. And now Oktoberfest faces an axing, right? European leaders are scrambling to save energy as Russia cuts off gas supplies. Well, the reason why they're cutting it off is because you're giving weapons to Ukraine and having that as a proxy war, right? So they did this to themselves. They didn't have to decommission all those nuclear power plants, right? You could have kept good relations. Nope. We got to ruin everything, right? Let's shut down the West. Berlin has stopped lighting landmarks at night, while Hanover has shut off hot water to public buildings and banned portable air conditioners. Linz in Austria has also turned off lights at night, and Salzburg plans to follow. Spanish Prime Minister told workers to take off their ties so to stay cool rather than to use their air conditioning. Now,
and like you hardly need air conditioning in Europe, right? But it's like the one time you need it during this last heat wave, then you can't. Then like you can't actually use it.
Yeah, and it is. I mean. And I guess that says something as well, right? That even large part aren't, equipped with ACs, right? Most people, I think, I forget what's UK. Someone said like around 10% only has like air conditioning.
Even Sweden,
and stuff.
Not a lot Sweden's of places not coming. Don't.
I mean, look, it's only about a month, really. Yeah. I mean, that's like really hot, you know. Then June can be great, but July usually the warmest, maybe into August a little bit, but then it starts cooling off a little bit again. So it's not that bad, you know what I mean? But yeah, no, this is symbolic. Look at this picture here. Berlin turns off the lights, which typically illuminate a statue of Frederick the Great, as the city attempts to save power amid looming energy crisis. That's it right there, right?
Yeah.
If they don't tear down the statues, we literally are like cutting off the electricity which powers
our civilization. They were doing this in Paris too, remember?
Yep.
Talked about that
last
week.
Exactly, the Eiffel Tower underneath there, right? They were doing something or around there or something. So anyway, this is they've done this completely to themselves, and it's fit perfectly into the Great Reset agenda, this conflict in Ukraine. All right, so another thing I wanted to show you real quick too, because this I guess goes back to actually the South African situation, right? We've had confiscation without compensation, that's what I called it in South Africa. You've seen similar things in Rhodesia or Zimbabwe, as they renamed it. And New Zealand is facing a similar thing. I saw this screenshot. Now, apparently, this is a letter that was sent to a farmer in New Zealand. And they're saying that the government is now stealing his land because it's an indigenous site of significance.
Another excuse.
Yes. So this is something part of something called UNDRIP, UNDRIP, which stands for United Nations. Let me see here if I can find the – I had a story here. What does it stand for again? United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. UNDRIP, kind of weird wording there, right? So basically, it's right now in Canada they've adopted this. They've done it in New Zealand. There might be other countries that have done this too. And they're saying that if it's like a historical heritage tied to the land, or there's a natural character anywhere in the land that's owned by somebody, or there's activities on the surface of water or even ecosystems and indigenous biodiversity, well, then it can be confiscated and taken from you, right? Designations, as it says at the end there, too. Ecosystems, as I said, the combined district plan for the west coast of New Zealand has rules with immediate legal effect that apply to your property, it says there. So we're going to come take it. So let me go play this little video here so you can get an idea of like how they sold this. They're trying to argue that indigenous people, Europeans are not that, right? Anywhere where we go, even if we build the country, we're never indigenous to it. So apparently the human rights that we came up with that's been used as a weapon against us, they don't have access to that. So they had to have a special rights, kind of clause. So here's a cartoon version to like explain this to a child. Check this out here.
For generations, we have lived off this land, fishing, hunting, and gathering food. Worshipping the spirits.
Because white people didn't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
The river, forest, and mountain. We are small in number, but we have a strong culture. This land gives us shelter. It gives us food. It gives us identity. Then new people came. From all over
then
the hills
the thunder
and along
hits.
Then other
the
people
bad
came.
White people came and just killed everything.
Isn't that amazing?
But we're going to use the government, these people built to get everything back for free and like get yeah. basic guaranteed incomes, which they get.
Well, you know what's great about this is they're consistent and not hypocritical in this, meaning they have stopped using the car and the boat.
Decolonized
and the motor.
Fully, right?
Yeah, they have no houses that's built by Western technology, or you know they've just gone.
They're
fully
just hunting
back,
and fishing again.
Absolutely, fully back to the land and you know no booze, no guns, no machines, no engines, no combustion, nothing, not even electrical vehicles. There we go. They just cut down everything.
Yeah,
as soon as they cut,
right.
They showed up in the 17th century with like chainsaws and just sawing everything down. That's what happened.
Spread our lands, our resources, our identity. They build and build and build. All this without even asking us.
Yes, it's true. They want to control our land without talking to us. Yesterday I went to the forest to collect roots. Gods forced me away. They shouted that
I called
close
bullshit.
The forest.
This didn't happen.
They laughed at me and my clothes.
Yeah, they're laughing at him there too.
They laughed at me and my clothes.
They can't do that. They can't treat you badly because you look different. You are human, just like they are.
Oh, this
people
is
came to the village yep. last week.
UNDRIP.
They told us.
Sounds like UNDRIP. An STD
yeah,
or something.
We're like, we're going to...
I got the drip.
One drop at a time. We're going to take away things from you, Western man, right? Let's UNDRIP this bitch.
Right, by the way, the whole idea of equality came from that evil white man who came in on those ships with chainsaws and toxic nuclear plants right away.
Yeah, unfortunately. But so they try to claim that it's not, they did not have any rights, and so therefore now they need special rights, which of course is going to be used to steamroll over us in the West. And as we saw in this case, it's like, well, there might be certain land here that's tied to important things for the indigenous, so you can't either develop the land or you can't do anything with it. You
that.
Have to give it up to us, basically.
You know, I've been in Australia, lived there for a time, been in New Zealand, very familiar with it. they have plenty of rights and special sacred areas that no one can build on. By the way, I just want to say real quick before we continue, something like this is starting to happen in Montana with the Native Americans, that they're getting certain land back, and some of that where there's lots of water, and then they deny access to white people for that water.
I call them American Indians, but yeah, you're right.
Yes.
this is the same, like they did with like rare bird species. And yeah, I mean, I'm not just like, yeah, let's cut everything down and develop. We've been over this many times. It doesn't mean we're pro endless development either. There's a balance here, right? But at the same time, if you look at some of the greatest conservationists, some people that care truly about the environment, that you find those among the European family for the most part, right? Not always, but
The least polluted countries in the world right now are European ones.
Well, we developed it and therefore we took responsibility, and it's like, okay, well, if this is bad, let's change it. And of course, the science that they base this on is not always right. And in this case, it's one of those, the same way that they use like a rare snail or a bird to shut down any kind of development, or now they can't, a farmer can't utilize his land anymore. Now they're using like indigenous, you know, groups for this purpose as well. It's more of the get in the pod and eat the bugs type of thing. Like, we'll drive you off of the land and say it belongs to these people over here. It'd be very interesting to see at the end of this, if they get their way, but I don't think they will, but if they get their way, are they actually going to leave these groups and these people at their own devices, or are
they going
to
give them money?
I think I think they'll use them to drive everyone off the land, but then they're also going to be shoved into the pods. That's what I think, but we'll see.
There are rights to work and food too.
Food? I went to the town to find some food.
You go to the town.
Just go and
find food at the town.
I thought you were hunters and gatherers.
Look what I found. They're giving us money to destroy our mountain spirit.
But that is our mountain. It belongs to the whole community. The mountain protects us and unites us. Our ancestors have protected and nourished our lands for hundreds of years.
What about sacred spaces in Sweden, Henrik?
Precisely what I was thinking about. Like, basically, as we're giving up more of our territory, more of our resources, I hand her over to immigrant groups as they grow their population, as we, we're still there. We obviously have a huge presence. I'm not saying we're gone, and it's not the defeatist thing here. But the point is, there are many areas we're being pushed out of. There are things that are transforming.
Sacred to us.
Exactly. Things that mean, you know, that's important to us, but there's no discussions of that. Nope. There's no recognition. It's this constant, because you're white,
you don't have
you're
a culture,
indigenous.
You don't have a soul,
yeah.
It doesn't matter.
You need to just step aside and just let these people ravage everything that you have. But in this case, they have special rights. Incredible, yeah. Huh?
This is our natural right, so that we can survive and develop as a people. This is the same for all indigenous peoples. There are 370 million
white people,
so,
too.
So here's a classification. They're trying to argue that there are only certain people that are indigenous.
So much for we're all human. Like, aren't all humans indigenous to somewhere? I guess not.
Space aliens. That's
I guess
where
all
this
the other
going.
Billions of people are not they didn't come from planet Earth.
Nope, they're aliens.
This is totally retarded.
It is retarded. Yeah.
Indigenous people all over the world. In different countries, we face similar problems. That is why our indigenous brothers and sisters around the world fought for our rights together. After 20 years, the United Nations finally adopted the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. This guarantees communities like us the right to decide what happens in our land, right to protect our culture and identity.
Wish we had that.
Exactly. And remember they asked in the beginning, we weren't even asked, they said. Remember that? They don't even talk to us. This is exactly the same as happening in indigenous European countries, right?
Hold up, Glenn.
We're not being asked. Go ahead.
Glenn the Chinaman, thank you. You make an awesome point. The Maoris immigrated to New Zealand by canoes from Polynesian region.
Of course.
They did not sprout from the lands like they're suggesting, just like American Indians too, by the way.
Yeah, no, I mean, exactly. And even in fact, I mean, you could go down this rabbit hole, but I mean,
who came first argument?
Let's talk about the Solutrians. If we talk about America, let's talk about, what was his name? Martin Dutroux. Remember that guy?
Mm-hmm.
It's actually one of the first. Let me see if I know. I didn't. Martin? Was it Martin? One of the first shows actually I did was with Martin Dutroux. Martin Dutroux. Here it is. Check this out. Yeah, the image is so low res. It's horrible. Look at that.
What year was that? Yeah, 2006.
Ancient Celtic New Zealand, right? It's up in the member section right now, which basically was, it was like a proto-Celtic slash Norse type looking art and artifacts and all that kind of stuff that they found in New Zealand. And you could go down this road on any, look, any people that is anywhere, they're there because they conquered. Or in some cases, they were maybe pushed off or something. But everyone, they claimed they took things from other people, right? This is not something that just happens to
indigenous people. It's nothing new. It's the history of humanity, right?
Of course, yeah.
Bill Huber says, it's interesting when it comes to the land of indigenous peoples. Extreme ethnostates are moral and needed.
Absolutely. And I made a point even with, like, we've seen from, like, modern organizations in the West, like the Council on Foreign Relations with their foreign policy journal and things like that. They're arguing for like a Kurdish ethnostate, right? We need to carve out this land, and they're a beautiful culture and
basically,
stuff.
Basically, if you're not white, you get that. It's okay.
Yep, you can have anything you want. I mean, the Kurds don't have it right now, but I'm saying it's fascinating that they're arguing for that, which is something they would never do for white people. And in fact, it's evil if you have people that are saying we should maybe have a decision over our lands too, right?
We must demand that the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples is put into action. We must defend our rights.
All right, there you go.
Dog Whistler says, have you seen the story about Horseface down in New Zealand, who literally wants to rename her country? Let me pull that, pull that up.
Article?
Yeah, let me see here.
Let's see.
Yeah, the campaign to decolonize New Zealand's name. Parliamentary committee could recommend vote among lawmakers of referendum to adopt Maori name. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, and do you remember the flag, too? Oh, they had this, like, a feather thing, and the flag wanted to take away the stars right there, because it was like, that's
don't worry, nothing's
Captain
gonna
Cook,
change.
Right? Or what was his name again? Was it Cook, right?
Yeah, I think it was Cook down there.
And it was, oh, that's bad. We got to change that. It's got to be an indigenous flag. Now, that wasn't pulled off last time, but they'll try again. They'll try again in, like, you know, 5 years, and then in 5 years again, and eventually they'll have it.
McDozer makes a good point too. Thank you. Governments can only abuse a population if the population allows for it. Embrace the natural instincts. Yep. We've been told to ignore. Governments exist only because we allow them to exist, and all governments abuse their people. Yes, they do.
Yeah, they do.
Absolutely. All governments.
Yeah. No, and again, some idea that this is some, like, oh, we're looking out for this group or whatever. And, like, of course, it benefits them now temporarily. But the point is, too, that all of these are just pawns. Like, they're just using these groups to get their way. And also, frankly, they're using it because it's so easy to trick most white people to go along for it. It's a guilt. It's a manipulation by guilt. It's one of the most strongest, like, power, essentially, that you can use over somebody to get them to fold and do your bidding. So eventually, I think they'll be sent into the pot eventually. All right.
Speaking of liberals being such hypocrites, this next one is really funny. This article will make you laugh your ass off.
Yes.
Yeah, you can even pull up the little tweet there. But white people are flooding Mexico City, and locals want them to go home. Right? Look, they're transforming classic neighborhoods, the housing market, and even racial dynamics. Oh my gosh! All these white people need to go back. These evil white people, right? Okay. 21 million people live in Mexico City. Okay, there's more Mexicans have flooded the USA than that. They're worrying about a couple white people who are in Mexico City, essentially, but it's funny. LA Times totally defending Mexicans on this one, but open borders to the US, right? Starts off by quoting this person. We're the only brown people, said Bustos, a 38-year-old writer and professor. We're the only people speaking Spanish. Oh, does that sound familiar? Does that sound like white people becoming a minority in the neighborhoods they once knew in California, and now they're surrounded by all these people speaking Spanish? It's just mind-blowing, right? They say the influx, which has accelerated since the onset of COVID and is likely to continue as inflation rises, is transforming some of the city's most treasured neighborhoods into white expat enclaves.
Oh, no.
I love it too. Whenever a neighborhood becomes more white, this is a bad thing. But when it becomes more brown or black or whatever, then this is a celebrated thing, and we should all welcome it, right?
Yep.
They say small family-run lunch spots are being replaced, like these old taquerias, by Pilates studios and co-working spaces and sleek cafes with oat milk lattes and avocado toast. Okay, wait a minute. We get crime, and they get Pilates and avocado toast.
Horrible.
Like, listen to this.
We get gang rapes, humiliation, crime.
Drive-by shootings, and they're complaining about avocado toast.
It's so white. Ooh, you know, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And then they say, in English, well, it's everywhere. The supermarkets, the natural wine bars, which they're complaining about, the fitness classes in the park. Oh, my God, these people eat well. They take care of their bodies. They don't sponge off the system. And they speak English. Do you know how many places, like when I lived in California, I was just Spanish, Spanish, Spanish everywhere and in all the signs and everything. Yep. Anyway, so recently, posters appeared around Mexico City. New to the city, working remotely, they read in English, "You're a fucking plague and the locals fucking hate you. Leave."
Oh, there you go.
Was this investigated for like hate crimes
exactly.
and all this?
Exactly. Will the UN come in and denounce this or say that a special group needs to research this and find out where the bigotry
is
coming from?
What about these young white people? Because they're talking about digital nomads. We've talked about this in the past, right? Like we young people that can work on their laptops. Yep. They go down there because it's cheaper rent, better weather, right? But what about them wanting a better life? Like during inflation, prices are high. It's crazy. Can you blame some of these young people for wanting to go have a better life? I thought all the Mexicans coming in America were doing it to have a better life. But it doesn't work when it's the other way around. You see, they're calling it modern colonialism.
Yeah.
They say they're transforming our neighborhoods into these, oh no, creative and intellectual hubs. Oh God forbid.
They're job openings all of a sudden. And they have a specialty like a health food store.
Look at these racists, these horrible crime-ridden racists here. They're changing our racial dynamics and demographics. I can't believe liberals are defending this. Yeah, it's called diversity. It's your strength. Fucking embrace it like you tell us to, right?
No.
Mexicans, they say Mexicans cannot migrate to the U.S. with the same ease. What are you talking about? Of course they can.
One local claim.
Yeah, you can just walk right in and then Jorge finds Guadalupe in L.A. and it's all good, you know? He also believes that Americans, this local says, many of whom are white, are reinforcing the city's pervasive and infrequently discussed. Now they have a problem with a caste system because they say that light-skinned, which is the white Spaniard Mexicans, right? Because there are white Spaniard Mexicans, don't mind these white Americans, right? They're probably like, they feel great. It's like more of like our people, right? They say Mexico is classist and racist, Bustos said. People with white skin are given preference. Now, if a local wants to go to a restaurant or a club, they don't just have to compete with rich white Mexicans, but with foreigners too. Oh, this is his worst thing when he goes to the club. He's got to like compete somehow. Like you could just walk into the club, man. Anyway, this article goes on about how Mexico City is so awesome and Mexicans, want to stay there and without all these people there. Well, then why are all these Mexicans leaving to America? It sounds like Mexico's freaking great. Like there's all kinds of good things happening there. But then on the other hand, they lie and claim that it's becoming more racist now because there's these mostly liberal young white people, right, that are working on their laptops there, like as if they're dealing with that, right?
I remember this, by the way, before we continue real quick, but remember they had this, in their immigration laws in Mexico, all these things about how if it starts changing the demographic makeup, we can kick you out for no reason, like hardcore, like immigration and ethnic, like looking out for their group ethnic, which they should, of course, right? But anyway, go on.
But they're worrying about a few. I mean, Mexico City is huge, okay? Yeah. And then like, it's not 20 million white people coming there flooding. Like, we're actually getting for real flooded, and people are becoming minorities in their states and cities and towns. They claim these few white people are making everything more expensive and it's not fair. Yeah, well, you come to our countries and make everything more expensive too because we have to pay for most of these people's asses when they're on welfare, right? We get tax hikes and all this stuff, like all these added payroll expenses
and even more than that. Keep your train of thought that, but it's like there's more than that because one, of course, they compete for the jobs, which means their employers, they drive down the wages as opposed to up. Now, work is not a desirable commodity essentially anymore, right? Because there's workers everywhere, so you can drive down the wages. Then secondly, think of house prices and things like this, right? When there's a decline in population, you get a natural decrease of house prices, which means then young people can get in the housing market, they can buy a house, it means they can start a family, like blah, 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 all these things. Now it's just this balloon that we mentioned before. The economy is so fake and gay and inflated that the only way they can keep afloat is as long as it's constantly expanding. If it just starts like slowing down, which it's doing now, by the way, we're in a recession, we'll talk about that later. But if it starts contracting, the whole lie basically is over. So yep. That's why they're doing
that's
this.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. They come, they transform our communities, they speak their language, they drive down property values, they disrespect our culture. This is the majority of the time. Now you know how it feels, minus the violence. You're getting like Pilates and avocado toast and organic
white
wine.
Hipsters,
yeah, right. White hipsters. We get bang bang, yep. gang and rapes, you yep. know. So how about we how about like millions of white people go down there? I mean, let's face it, Spaniards also did build Mexico already, right?
Yeah.
Transform it, make it this nice place like America, and then all the Mexicans in America, they can all go back there, and then all the white people can come back to America. Anyway, it's just amazing
it's
to see.
It's a shuffle, you know what I mean?
But it just kind of follows.
I mean, you think about it, the ancient world, right? You had like Carthage and like the North Africa was white. I mean, Africa is named after a Roman general, Africanus, right? I mean, it's like that whole belt there was like white people at one point. The ancient world, we're talking about like Egypt, Macedonia, Greece, Hittites. I mean, these were most likely all really white Caucasian looking people, right? And then, you know, we contracted back up into Europe, and then now it's following us, like up there. And then eventually, maybe there will be some enclave and pouring out down. It's interesting to see, like, wherever white people go, there seems to be some, like, it's a human right to be in proximity to wherever white people are. Yeah. But ironically, every time the borders are open and the gates are open to our civilizations, it seems to magically kind of crash and collapse for some mysterious reason. Not sure why. It's hard to figure out.
But it's just amazing to see liberals in America cry about Mexico's changing demographics and how it's getting white.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really not. Let me just catch up on a couple of these.
Sure, yeah.
Let's see, MHT says, as Ben Shapiro might say, ugh, and I don't think he would say this, I don't give a damn about the whitening of Mexico.
Yeah, I know. They would never say that. Oh, it's their right to ethnically defend their, you know, he would stand up for it, you know. So it reminds me of this one. We got to do it. Here's a combo, right? Rape. I didn't add the pictures here, but this is funny. Look at this. Did you see this one?
Rape.
Oh, my gosh.
Rape.
That is so awkward.
Rape.
Oh, man.
That's what we got, folks.
Yep.
Rape.
So simple, right, but so effective and so funny.
That's funny.
Back to our last story, though. Bill Biz says, likewise, thank you, you're not going to see the British government supporting the priority of indigenous white British citizens, as PA routinely points out. Exactly.
That's right. That's right.
Patriotic alternative.
Yeah, and their campaign, we were never asked. Same thing, going back to the indigenous thing, the special rights group in the United Nations. No, in this case, United Nations, as we've focused on so many times, they have a policy of advocating this to nation states of replacing their indigenous population, right? I mean, Europe, all over the West, right? It was like they had Japan or something on that list too, but beyond that, it was all just white countries and Japan. You need to like
yep.
replace your aging population with immigrants, right?
Yep, that's right. Yep. Let's see, Musk Grillion says, I work around a lot of white Mexicans and I've learned that their full-blooded siblings are often brown. Just because one looks white doesn't mean they are. And I know that there are Mexicans in Mexico who identify as white, but
Let me
get caught up on a couple more of
sure.
these. The Ferryman's Toll says, curious what your thoughts are on Congress just passing the assault weapons ban.
Oh, was that today?
I did not see that yet.
I did not keep up with that. Maybe we'll talk about that over the weekend or something. Thank you for the tip on that, though. I did miss that. So let me see here. House passes assault-style weapons ban. Really? Okay. So, as usual, I think it's got to pass Congress, too, which it usually doesn't, right? I mean, look, one of these times
it'll stick.
They will stick. They keep trying over
they're
and over again, right?
It.
Yeah, the House Representative voted Friday evening to ban assault-style weapons, sending the bill to the Senate, where it's not expected to advance. And usually that is the case. Luckily, that's been down to it, but it's like it's hanging by a thin thread. It's like, I mean, if Manchin and I'm not sure where Sinema stands on this on the Democrat side, but Manchin has been like one of the only guys who is a Democrat, right, from West Virginia.
Some Democrats voted against the ban.
Oh, but others too? Okay.
It says right there.
I didn't get that for you.
Texas, yeah. Maine, Wisconsin,
okay,
Texas,
good.
Oregon.
All right.
And then there was a couple cucks, Republicans, that voted for it.
Yeah. Yep. Rhinos.
Pennsylvania, New York. Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. Thanks for the tip there, Alex. Good to see you, man.
Dog Whistler says, this morning the local news had a story about how the Democrat mayor of D.C. is upset that state of Texas is, busing the Mexican?
Yes.
Flooding, Mexicans flooding Texas to D.C. and that her city can't afford the influx and is changing D.C. Yeah, exactly.
First, I said, what's the purpose of this? Like, if, you know, Florida and Texas started taking the illegal immigrants that had come there and they busted them to D.C., right? Greg Abbott, DeSantis did this. And I was like, wait a minute, how's this helping? Like, they're actually just sending these migrants to the interior of the country? Couldn't they just send them back? I guess the only, like, light, you know, positive aspect of that, if there is such a thing in this case, is that it just shows them that they're totally overwhelming their local infrastructure because of all these migrants that they were calling out.
See how it feels? So
at least they're doing that, but at the end of the day, it still felt like, wait a minute, now they're just still they're doing their work in a way, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Odin's Raven says, what's that old saying? Turn about fair play. I know several retirees that went to Mexico, also Costa Rica. Shout out to Colin, who's listening while he's cutting brush on her property.
Nice.
Hey, Colin.
Hey. How's it going?
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Enjoying the
weather? Like, what is it that's, 100 degrees and brush cutting? Woo, man.
It's probably colder down there now, to be honest.
So now attacking white people who are going to Mexico and Costa Rica when prices are expensive, they can't retire in America, like everything is just so costly. Like, can you blame some of these people for doing that? No.
No, I mean, it's a shame, obviously, because this is the global shuffle the establishment want us to have. Like, oh, whites move over there, and then all of a sudden it's like what Putnam said. Like, oh, it's all mixed out, and now we can't undo it, right? You can't unscramble the omelet, and so ha-ha, you know, kind of thing. I don't like that, but yeah. If from a very individualistic, selfish point of view, it's totally rational for these people who don't have an allegiance to their group or their race or their country to leave and do what's
and there's some
for them,
that do know. Though we have listeners who are expats in South American countries and in Mexico and some of these other third world countries, and maybe is their job or different reasons why they ended up there. Bill Hoover says the reality is that it is all European blood that runs South American countries. I've been through many South American countries and I have witnessed that firsthand. A lot of the infrastructure, some of the old buildings, and there still are European folks that are in like Argentina and Paraguay and places like that.
Yeah.
A lot of Russians, a lot of Germans. Yep.
Let me see. I'm going to take this one here. Finkelstein again for 1489. Thank you. So this is the most base couple. I hope they are having many, many children. Then their children have many, 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 many children and so forth. Yeah. Did you see that video of the two? I think it was like a TikTok or something. Like two became like 30 people or so. Do you remember that? We played that?
Oh,
That's like amazing how fast it can go. If we have that bottleneck right now.
Talk to them at a young age.
But if you can like have us, our people have many kids and they have many kids, it's like we'll get our numbers back up in no time. You know,
quickly.
A few generations, 3-4 generations. You know.
Yes.
Anyway, continuing here, Arians, go meet a woman. Church is not a bad place to start. And that, if you're not into that, go to your local Osatru meeting or some kind of where you can meet good people, right? I have to grill chicken, hail victory, and embrace the long, ugly defeat. 88, thank you, Finkelstein. That's very kind of you. And yes, the solution to many of our problems, at least long term, is have as many kids as you
can. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. So I wanted to cover this here too. Instagram is now asking users for their race and ethnicity. I thought it was something similar a while back. It rings a bell, but this is a recent story, so I'm not sure if they're doing this again, or maybe it was a different social media company that was doing it last time. Instagram will begin asking some U.S. users for race and ethnicity data in order to study how different groups experience the platform, said in a post. A random assortment of Instagram users will get a pop-up in the app that leads to a survey asking for their race and ethnicity, hosted by the research group YouGov. Answering the question is optional, and Instagram says response will not limit the experience. Yeah, sure. I can just imagine if you answer that you're white here, you're going to get a special shit treatment. That's what I think,
to be
honest.
Then just put black, but then they can just go check your pictures, right? Isn't that the whole point of Instagram?
Not like necessarily, but you know that this is part of like, oh, they need a better experience. We got to control bullying, so we got to find out who's saying bad things, right? And if it's white people, you're more likely to get banned faster. We know how this works, right? So anyway, here's the screenshots. You can see that there. Help us keep Instagram fair and inclusive.
Oh, my
is the,
God. It's so nauseating.
Yeah. Let me zoom
bunch
in
of freaking babies. And, of course, it's anything but fair and inclusive. Like, how many people have been banned from there? I didn't even try because I knew I'd get banned quick.
Instagram.com/RedEyesTV. We're actually on there. We post shows and some
I thought
stuff
they banned
there.
That one already.
They did not. They banned the Red Eyes, just the Red Eyes one I think we had, but now it's actually Red Eyes TV. So we'll see how long that lasts. I certainly haven't been asked by any data for this. But anyway, yeah, which of the following describes your race or ethnicity? If multiracial, please select all that apply.
They mark Hispanic right there.
White's the bottom of the list, of course. All right. Anyway, so
other. I always mark other anytime I have an option.
Yeah.
Like if you have to, it's something that's like government or bank or whatever. Just always do other.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
Let them file me in the shit category.
You can avoid giving them information. Don't do it. They'll know everything
that's
about
right.
it anyway. All right. Well, this one was.
Yeah, this is interesting.
Speaking of social media companies, by the way, think about they're asking you about race. Who are they banning the most? Anyway, go.
An Indian UN official. He's a UN human rights investigator. He spoke of the Jewish lobby and the overuse of anti-Semitism in an interview he did. And he questioned Israel's membership in the UN, considering, you know, they're occupying Palestinian territory. So although he's only anti-Israel because he thinks it's apartheid. Yes, I know. What's interesting is that he said, we are very disheartened by the social media that is controlled largely by whether it is the Jewish lobby or specific NGOs, said Indian Milun Kothari. Jews were outraged by this. I would add it's not just the Jewish lobby or NGOs, but just independent capitalists, Jews themselves who own various media, Facebook, YouTube, of course, you know, they run Hollywood, numerous mainstream media outlets.
There's the criminal on screen right there.
Yeah, and the UN defended this guy because, well, he's still a liberal, he's Indian, but also because the quote was taken out of context. So let me read the full quote.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, we are very disheartened by the social media that's controlled largely by whether it is the Jewish lobby or specific NGOs. A lot of money is being thrown into trying to discredit us. He's part of this commission who's inquiring on the occupation of Palestinian territory, right? He said, but the important thing is our mandate is based on international human rights and humanitarian standards and that we are all seeking the truth. So his quote wasn't in reference to anything except for defending their investigations into Israel and Palestine, but he rightfully claims that the Jewish lobby is spending money for their pro-Israel agenda attacking him. But it wasn't as hardcore as you know, they try and let you.
No, that's always the case, right? And it's, oh, no, we're not trying to, you know, they always backpedal and stuff right there, right? But it's kind of interesting because obviously the major owners, you know, of the big social media platforms, not all, but you have many of them. You have Wojcicki, head of, you know, YouTube. You have the Google, Brin, and what's the other guy? I always forget him. Sergey Brin and whatever the other guy is.
Of course, Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg of Facebook, right? You have what else is there? There's some other ones too. But the point is like, yeah, and how do they treat the Israel issue, right? If it's just over that issue alone. I know of several Palestinian things that have been like they're demoted. They tried with the BDS thing a while ago, right? To like try to ban anybody who criticizes Israel or at least under the boycott, divestment, sanctions kind of banner and stuff like that. So no, it's definitely a problem. So I wish it was actually like questioning it even more.
Deeper.
But in this case he didn't, but they're still going to blame him though, right? They're still going to say, oh, you know what, this is anti-Semitic as soon as you question this. But you know, let me don't have to play that, but you saw the Dershowitz clip, right?
Oh yeah,
of him admitting this, like how much power we have and we
six
use
Jewish
it,
companies own 96% of the I was just looking at the latest of the world's media, so yeah, they're controlling the narrative there.
Of course.
It's not so just it's, NGOs,
it's,
okay?
No,
it's like
of course
a
not.
Lot deeper than that.
Yeah, social media. Yeah. All right. So check this out here. Here's speaking of the U.S. Government here. The U.S. State Department funded a film fest depicting incest and pedophilic content. Really now. The State Department spent $10,000 taxpayer dollars to fund an international LGBTQ+P2S film festival featuring incest and pedophilic content, according to the Washington Free Beacon. The film festival in Portugal, Queer Lisboa, showed films featuring incest and a minor having sex with an adult as part of the Biden's administration's support LGBTQ plus and diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility efforts.
Yeah.
The State Department sent $10,000 as part of the international initiative. Feature films included Saint Narcisse, which tells a story of incestuous twins, and Minion, which features pedophilic content as a teenager explores New York City's gay community. Oh, this is certainly not related to what we're going to talk about next here at all. Right? Schlong COVID. The Washington Free Beacon have reported that also the American LGBT filmmaker and director Gus Van Sant was featured in a panel discussion at the festival. The U.S. Embassy in Portugal held the event to further the administration's project called Memorandum on Advancing the Human Rights of LGBTQ, they add an I there now, plus persons around the world, according to the Washington Free Beacon. The State Department and the U.S. Embassy in Portugal did not immediately respond to the Daily Caller's News Foundation's request for a comment. Fascinating how that works, isn't it? And then actually reminded me of this one too. I didn't get a chance to cover it yet. Speaking about the State Department, guy here says, bizarre that the State Department rented out a five-story Upper East Side mansion to Jeffrey Epstein from 1992 to 1996. Does the State Department rent out property to private citizens often? Often seems weird, right? It says, and it's like, well, if that particular private citizen is known as intelligence, right? Remember the comments? Acosta, he gave Epstein a sweetheart deal. He came out of the prison right away. He was barely even in prison. It was like he could leave, what was it again, like 8 hours during the day for work or something like that? Remember there was like this plea deal he got, sweetheart deal, they call it in the media, right? Epstein. And because Acosta had been told when the charges surfaced again of pedophilia and sex trafficking and all these things, that don't touch him, leave him alone, he's intelligence, right? That's what's that. Maybe that's why the State Department is renting out this huge mansion at the on the east side in New York, right? So this article, anyway, it's an older article back from the 90s then that details this, which is pretty crazy, to be honest. I haven't seen this before, but yeah, there you go. That's how tied in they are. They're all tied in, a little club, right? A little pedophile club. It's a little ring. All right, anyway. Let's talk about this now.
Yeah, so San Francisco officially declared a state of emergency in response to the growing spread of monkeypox cases across the city. 261 people, gay people, reported that they said they expect it to grow over the weekend, by the way. Why is that? Can we say it? Butt sex. Mayor Breed acknowledged that the LGBTQ community are at a greater risk, but will they cool it from engaging in sex for a little bit? Probably not. No. Instead, they're lining up for the sketchy vaccine. By the way, monkeypox is not fatal, but it creates these intense, painful lesions. Ew.
Yep.
Anyway, we do have a picture or two, I think, of how you can prevent it. I know there's different versions of this going around.
Let me just see if I can find that real quick. It was actually BuzzFeed News that had the story. Let me see here. Yeah, limit your partners for now. Here it is.
For now, don't engage in
The World Health Organization recommends gay and
with
bisexual
20 guys
men.
On a weekend.
Basically, right? Let me see here. No, that's
just
not
stick
the one.
Just stick to five on a weekend, okay?
CNBC. But anyway, BuzzFeed had it, and they changed it a little bit, and they said that, like, please, can you limit your sexual partners for now? BuzzFeed News added. It was basically this headline. It was limit for now, just for now, to reduce the spread of monkeypox. Because, of course, it's basically a gay... we're looking at, like, the way that... when was the major AIDS, like, scare?
Yeah, it's 80s, like an AIDS thing again.
It was basically, like, a whole AIDS thing, and... We're specifically 80. Being singled out and discriminated against, and all these things, right?
Now they're going to be like, "This is conspiracy to take out gays, monkeypox," right?
Yeah, exactly. Let me see if I can find that. Where did that go now? So New York as well. By the way, New York State declares monkeypox an imminent threat. San Francisco issues state of emergency over virus. We actually had a let me play this clip here. Check out this. This is like first people thought this has got to be a joke. This has got to be like fake and exaggerated or something. But I don't think that.
Faking gay.
Basically, check out the background here as well. You can't make this up. Look at this here.
Hey guys, this is
whoa.
What monkeypox looks like. I'm here in Los Angeles, and my whole body is basically covered, which I'm not going to rest my body, but my hands can see. And it's not fun. Get the vaccine and stay safe. This is really painful, and I don't even know if I will.
What'd you get on your face, man?
For the rest of my life.
I meant something else.
Oh, no, I know. But, yeah, people thought it was like, this is a joke, right? And so let me remind you of the arc that happened here. I played a couple of these Wednesday, but I think if you bear with us, it's good to repeat things sometimes as well, because not everyone watches everything or people misses things. So check out how this started here, right?
We do have seen now two cases that have occurred in children. Both of those children are traced back to individuals who come from the men who have sex with men community, the gay men community.
Can't even say.
When we have seen those cases in children, they have generally been what I call adjacent to the community most at risk.
Ooh. Adjacent. In a roundabout way, she was saying gay pedophile.
That's what it sounds like.
That's what she's saying. Because it's like, you don't give it to the men who have sex with men community and children adjacent. Who are adjacent to that.
Right. That's what it's not. So, of course, immediately, damage control, right? The tweets were there. Incredible. She states the children contracted from gay men. This is a setup. She's literally used specifically the phrase men who have sex with men while talking about these kids too. Deeply dangerous.
And well, here's some of the videos. Is it true or not?
Of course it's true, but big mad. Hose mad.
For months, my sister and I have been saying how Rochelle Walensky just needs to go. She needs to leave that CDC. She is not the right person to communicate. They have so many unalives on their hands from their mismanagement of communication alone. And today, she's out there making a statement that the two cases of the children, we could trace back to two men who were having sex with other men. How about the cases where the mother may have given it to the child, or the husband gave it to the wife, or the brother gave it to the cousin, or in the red states where the sister gave it to the brother?
Oh my god.
He's actually doing that. This guy was
poop
penis anal obsession is actually going there. Oh yeah, the red state inbreds, am I right?
Oh my god. Look at his embarrassment.
Snapping his finger here. Look at that.
Excuse me?
Oh my god.
Oh god.
A little Jewy, this guy, or what?
Yeah, very much.
That is the wrong kind of messaging to come out with as the only example. It's not the only two examples in the United States.
It's basically that. Yeah, it's 98% of this now is basically within
your guesses. It wasn't in red states, it was in gay states. Yes. Okay, deal with it.
You need to come back with better message immediately, because that is inappropriate and that's going to create a stir against gays. And
Gay pedophiles aren't appropriate either, dude.
Right, exactly. So if it's inconvenient or if it's not serving kind of the larger agenda, it should be banned. We shouldn't be allowed to talk about it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, immediately the stigma begins, and like, here's Tedros, right? Listen to his. We're back in the misinformation camp again. Listen to
this. Stigma and discrimination can be as dangerous as any virus and can fuel the outbreak. As we have seen with COVID-19, misinformation and disinformation can spread rapidly online. So we call on all social media platforms, tech companies, and news organizations to work with us to prevent and counter harmful information.
So we're right. It's going to be banned, just like the COVID thing was. We're right back. The circus have started over. They're declaring emergency. It's a global health concern now. They're running with this.
And
this
we're actually going to get a "Don't Say Gay" bill. Right. Don't say gay monkeypox bill. Oh, we're actually going to get that now.
So anyway, was it Tucker here? Right. This is. Should we
just
play this? This
there's some pictures I want to show too, but this is fine.
Let's play this first here. Yeah.
So monkeypox is about the coolest name ever for a disease. Can't come tonight, I got the monkey. But they are changing the name because racism or something. Well, for once, we don't know who they are. We're not going to allow it. We're going to change the name this time. We're going to do it with the public's help because democracy is real. So we had a vote. There was no ballot harvesting. You can trust our counting. And the new name for monkeypox is now officially, and we're declaring it, Schlong COVID. That won our audience election about 40% of
votes. Whoever the writer is that actually came up with that, good for mm-hmm. them. Because I don't think Tucker did that.
So. No, it's got to be one of the writers that listens to shows like ours.
Could be. Schlong COVID. Okay, so that was funny. Good for Tucker there. Before we show the memes there too that came out, right, to underline and prove this point, right, there's studies on how diseases, this is a Dutch study of how diseases spread among heterosexual versus homosexual networks. And because of the promiscuity and because of the so many sexual partners that gay men have, it's much, rapid spread compared to male and female partners, the heterosexuals, right? So a couple of the memes that came out was pretty good. Is how to avoid getting monkeypox.
Yeah, I've seen lots of versions of these.
Basically, get hetero, get married. You know, so
be with a woman.
This is like, is this some
family?
Is this some punishment? Is it finally become like it's the visual expression here of behavior that we're seeing? It's a signifier has happened, right? A mark of sorts.
Maybe it is natural, and nature's telling us something. Huh?
Doctors hate him. Learn how he avoids monkeypox with one simple trick. It's kind of funny. And then, of course, some of these classics, they were funny as well.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Mask up the butt now, too.
Mask the butt. That's right. Stop the spread of monkeypox. Wear a damn mask.
Yeah, they'll still put a hole in the back end of that one, too.
You're right. Well, now we can actually call it a diaper. Not just a face diaper. It's just a diaper now. The COVID, the schlong COVID diaper. All right. Good stuff. Good stuff. Important stuff, right? did you have any?
I have one more. Lycan Warrior says, UN complaining about Poland preferring refugees from Ukraine versus Third World. I know this. Actually, my dad had sent this one to me. I watched it. Yeah, it was like these Africans and other Muslims. Like, what are you even doing there? You know, what are you even doing in these countries anyway? Like, how do they end up in places like Poland or Ukraine or whatever?
Yeah.
That the white refugees, the Ukrainians, were getting housing and all these things much quicker than they were, and just, you know, complaining and blah, blah, blah. And so there was an investigation into it and all this stuff.
Oh, no.
It's like, by the way, Ukrainians are Europeans. They live in Europe. Like,
yep. Except those Africans that were coming out fleeing. Wasn't something with that, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to do this one here from Portents. I missed that earlier, I think. I'm not sure when that's from. It says, do you think Christian nationalism... let me do it again. Do you think Christian nationalism cosplay is an attempt at distancing whites from purely racial politics? Well, you could spend hours on that. Of course, we have our own preference. We're not Christian. We don't have any problem with Christians, but we do have critiques of Christianity. And part of that is the kind of universalistic nature, for the most part, of the religion.
Religion first, not folk first.
Right. And so I would say from our point of view, it's kind of with pre-Christian traditions, not always, but in many cases. And if you look at also true, for example, Norse religion or paganism in the Slavic countries, something like that, you kind of had a kin family tribe kind of attitude baked into the whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. It was not a universalistic. It wasn't like anybody can just convert to it and then that's what you are and stuff, right? It's very much like ethnicity and kin, family first kind of thing. So that's one of the pluses with that.
Yeah, family, land, nation, spirituality. It's kind of, it's all together.
Yeah.
Right? It's not separate.
Right. And so I think that could be, I think we've seen that too. We've definitely seen that being abused and misused, and that a lot of people that are Christian, they're getting this message from the pulpit. I mean, obviously now the highest heads of the Christian churches and the Pope and stuff are like super universalistic. Jesus was a refugee too, and you have to open your door. I mean, they're milking that like crazy, right? You might have some that are like, well, that's not real, or the true story, or this is what actually happened and stuff. But the fact is that at the end of the day, that is something that is vastly used by religions. Judaism is not like that, obviously, right? Islam, they're kind of universalistic, but it's also very like, you know, tight knit, you know what I mean? They're much more tribal to a certain extent. But Christians are always expected to be like open to everybody, and they have to let everyone in and stuff like that. So yeah, I think it could be misused a little bit. Christian nationalism is kind of a misnomer a little bit as well. Because certainly I've heard from a lot of people, they're like, well, if you would you prefer like to have to be part of a group or something where you have white pagans or people are not Christians or they are something else or maybe even atheists, or would you prefer to have Africans that are Christian, for example, yeah, or something? And many of them say we Africans, you know, they did not, they say no to the white people because they're not of the same faith. So I think that could be misused, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is a deep question, and you could go on and on about that. Now, there's some obviously people that don't do that and they see through that and they're not like that and stuff like that, but that's a huge trap that's baked into the religion, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I wanted to, so we talked about monkeypox. I think, is that it for the monkeypox thing, right? Well, yeah. I think we're finished there. Let me show you.
Where do you go after that butt mask?
I wanted to show, I saw a screenshot the other day and I had to confirm, like, wait a minute, is this really true? So we talked about, what was it called again? Schlong COVID, right? So check this out here. I want to play just a clip. Let me see, what's the timestamp here? 10 minutes, 20 seconds. Now this is falling down. Check this out. This is how they, this is interesting, finding something in the background here. Like, I'll play without the audio, but check the background here.
I remember this
one. Do you remember this one? Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty good movie, but there's some, certainly some critiques. Check out, see if you can see something here in the footage here. I think it was 20 seconds. Here we go. He's fighting, right? He's fighting with the clerk. Is that what you call it? Now what do you call it?
What's the sound?
Vietnamese. Do we have to have this on? Does it matter?
Nah, okay. Let go.
Jesus Christ! What is this? The last stand on Fiji.
Did you see that?
I just looked away right there. Okay. Replay, please.
I think you guys saw it.
Go.
Right behind him.
Go.
Corona. You see that right at the right? Oh, wait. It's kind of blocked off a little bit there. Look at that.
Yeah.
Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Corona right at the corner. Oh, man. This is, I'm butchering this here. Right there. Do you see that? Corona.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two street signs with Corona. This is how they do it, right? Corona drop. Do you remember that too? The model that was named COVID with a K that actually had a matching face mask on
that's
some fashion
right.
show
yeah,
and
that
stuff.
Was weird.
There's a lot
yeah.
of people that have spotted stuff like that. They're seeing like weird like drops and signals in the background and stuff. But and then I was like, wait a minute, something else with the movie? Like he finally loses it. He's fighting with an Asian guy and then Corona. And I don't know, you know, there's all these things you go through. But anyway, I saw that was kind of funny. So
it's interesting. Like, is it planted or is it like a collective unconscious thing that's kind of coming out? And the set designer for some reason is like, yeah, let's put this Corona sign.
It's not, I mean, right inside, it's not like it's a street even. It's just like a inside in a building when there's two Corona intersecting each other like that too. But anyway, so anyway, that will wrap. Make of that what you will. I wanted to pass it on. That wraps up our little disease segment here then, and the Schlong COVID segment. And let's show this one. Did you see mm-hmm, this one yet?
I have.
Creepy stuff. Let me play this here. Funeral director John O'Looney, great name, shows blockages removed from blood vessels of a young man's heart who died suddenly.
You can see there.
So, this, COVID,
yeah.
Larry, are you looking at this?
So, yeah, you see the thick one here? This one here came out of the aorta from the heart. They take the shape of the vessels that they're growing in totally, and they gradually fill the vessels as they grow. And these, obviously, that's what's killed him. See there.
My God. What is that? How can he be that big? Is that normal? I don't know. We're seeing videos like this. It's absolutely crazy. There's always an off chance that it's like not true or exaggerated or something, but we've seen a lot of this kind of stuff. I'm just like, wait a minute, what is happening?
Yeah.
Weird physical effects, and they're like parasites in people's body. I mean, it's a crazy, disgusting.
Yeah,
stuff,
I mean, you know? To the point where there's funeral directors who are speaking out about these things and making videos. Like, there's just weird stuff happening and more coffins being sold and all that. Yep. By the way, Black Phillip said Corona is Spanish for crown, so it's very usage before COVID, and we do know that. But still, these things slip in there.
It's the point. I mean, I'm not saying it's all predictive programming. I'm saying, I do generally, but in some cases it is, absolutely. I'm not saying that. Some people know, they're very smart, they're in on the plan, or whatever, you know.
And sometimes it just unconsciously
sometimes it's,
slips
it's something when you have millions of people watching these movies and stuff. There's interesting ways that the subconscious collectively are coming through. And in some cases, it's like literally sending you a message about something before it actually... That's the only thing I can conclude. I don't have any like super, you know, poignant examples at the top of my head right now, but we've, you know, we've done shows on this and stuff that in some cases...
It's a lot of 9/11.
It's just too, yeah, like too much... Exactly. Too much coincidence. This has definitely been dropped. And if not intentionally, it's definitely something else going on, which is interesting. I mean, it's people... Make whole studies of this, right? Yeah. All right. So anyway, over to this story here. Big surprise, right? FBI whistleblowers reveal that the bureau leadership have been pressuring FBI agents to artificially pad domestic terrorism data.
Well, of course. Faking the threat of this white supremacy, domestic terrorism, right? You know that's what it is.
Whistleblowers have notified Jim Jordan that agents are being instructed to fudge the numbers and the details in order to smear. And it's not just Republicans. The primary thing here that the FBI is doing now with domestic terrorism charges is white people, right? They go after white people. They entrap white people. And so although it doesn't say it specifically in the documents, we can pull those up right here. Let me go up full screen here. Dear Director Ray, here, right? We continue to hear from brave whistleblowers about disturbing conduct at the Federal Bureau of Investigations. From recent protected disclosures, we have learned that FBI officials are pressuring agents to reclassify cases as, quote, domestic violent extremism. And that's white people. They've said that. It's white nationalists and white supremacists. That's what that is, right? Even if the cases do not meet the criteria for such classification. And, of course, what happened, and we called this at the time, when they announced that they're going to put as much resources into domestic terrorism, which again is a euphemism for saying white nationalist and white supremacy. That's what that, and terrorist, violent extremist, right? When they're going to put as much money into that as they did for the, Muslim terrorists and stuff, ISIS terrorists and stuff like that back, 10 years or 5 years after 9/11, and that kind of ramped up that whole thing, right? So they've walked away from that, and now it's all domestic terrorism, and now it turns out they're fudging the numbers. Because if you don't have a problem, you got to create the problem, right? That's how this works. Here's the second page here. Let me go up. He says here, we have received accusations that FBI agents are bolstering the number of cases of DVEs, domestic violent extremists, to satisfy their superiors. For example, one whistleblower explained that because agents are not finding enough DVE cases, they are encouraged and incentivized to reclassify cases as DVE cases, even though they are minimal. Circumstantial evidence to support the reclassification as well. Another whistleblower who led at least one high-profile domestic terrorism investigation stated that a field office counterterrorism assistant special agent in charge and the FBI's director of the counterterrorism division had pressure agents to move cases into the DVE category to hit self-created performance metrics. According to whistleblowers, the FBI uses these metrics to dispense awards and promotions. Even whistleblowers that called it an environment of pressure within the FBI. Absolutely insane, right? And so they're so if they don't have the white extremists, they're creating them. As this, we've played this a couple of times, but a good reminder. Here's an ex FBI intelligence guy. He was at work at in Phoenix, I think, Arizona. And listen to what he said about like entrapment of white people and white kids. Listen to this.
You know, when you're looking at ISIS or you're looking at radical Islamic terrorism, I covered a number of stories where the FBI would track young kids and or young men, and they would talk to them online and say, you know, here's how you build a bomb, or here's where you get your bomb making materials. And they tracked that person as that person radicalized and then arrested them before they could do anything bad. Why is the same not being done for white extremists? Or is the same being done? We just don't know about it.
Yeah, it is being done.
No, it's time to seriously ask that question and to wrestle with it, because politics does enter in. And as you said, as soon as you mention even the need for a domestic terrorism statute, right, that addresses this, you'll hear people start screaming, this is the thought police. You're trying to suppress thought. My answer to that is, this is not about thought. This is about verbalizing an intention to commit violence.
That's absolute bullshit, by the way, too. They classify anything could lead to violence, and therefore it is like violence, and we have to stop
these people. I don't like what the government's doing lately. Oh, you have an intention to commit violence.
Yeah, absolutely. They're faking.
That's what we're talking about. And when you have that going on in droves online.
So basically, anybody that's edgy and saying something funny or Fed posting online, oh my God, look at all this terrorism, right? We have to, they're going to commit violence at any moment.
It's time to hit it head on and do it in partnership between law enforcement and providers. And if we don't get out in front of it, it'll just keep happening because the president represents a bully pulpit.
This is when Trump was still in office.
Where there's fresh daily content. Radicalization. The same goes for a state-subsidized news network that refuses to denounce this kind of thing. Radical Islamists would give their right arm to have that kind of fresh daily content.
Anyway, so this is the point here that I made also in this little short video. Is under the House Resolution 41, rejecting white nationalism and white supremacy. Well, how do you define it, right? How do you define it? To be a white nationalist is to be pro-white. In other words, if you're not anti-white, you are a terrorist.
Yeah, that's the only logical conclusion.
Basically the conclusion.
You can't be pro-yourself or pro-your own people.
No, because then you're a terrorist. And so this has now come out. So this is not, we call this right away, like expect an increase in, you know, all these violent crimes. And if it isn't genuine, if it isn't someone that actually been groomed or they've been roped into it or manipulated, it's just straight out like feds doing this themselves or reclassifying it to claim that it's not. We know it's not a big problem, right? Anyway, let's play. And I think Jim Jordan, although it's good that this comes out through him and stuff like that, they still make this like, oh, they're just going for it's just Republicans and conservatives. And it's like, no, it's not. It's white people, and it doesn't matter where they fall in it. It's a certain extent, right? Let's listen to what he said about that here. We can get this to play.
Ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee, Congressman, if you take control of the House this fall, will the impeachment of Merrick Garland over his inaction on these attacks be on the table?
Yeah, everything will be on the table, Lauren. I want to stress everything. Think about the weaponization of government we have seen from this Justice Department, both in a passive sense where they won't prosecute people who directly violate a statute and protest at Supreme Court justice's home with the design on influencing its decision, a case pending in front of the court. And then, of course, the active weaponization of government, like what they did with parents. I mean, you think about this school board situation. Understand what happened to moms and what happened to families. They first told kids you can't go to school. They closed the schools. Then when they opened the schools, they said, we're going to teach your kids CRT. And then if as a concerned parent, you showed up at a school board meeting, they treat you as a domestic terrorist and the FBI investigates you. So much so that we've had multiple whistleblowers come forward and tell us about over 24 cases where moms and dads have been investigated for that same scenario I just described.
And so they're reclassifying them. It goes on with them. So they're reclassifying them and said, oh, this is domestic terrorists here. These are dangerous terrorists. We got to keep an eye on this. And what happens then? Then they get more funding. They get this agency can grow or even that department or that. I mean, I forget what it was a while ago. They set up a brand new division just to deal with domestic terrorism. And voila, just like on command, much more of those cases are popping up, even if it's real or not. You know, that's how they play the game, right? All right.
Yep. It's outrageous.
Yep. Okay, so did you have any others?
Yeah, I want to get caught up before we get into the chemtrails thing, which is kind of fun. But Mossack Scarillion, back to the Corona conversation. Corona in English is the rim of the head of the penis. I think we know who likes to snip things around that area. It's true,
it is.
It's
a foreskin snatcher.
It is. It is. You're right. So. Important information here on Flashback Friday. Black Phillips says, Henrik and Lana, it's pretty obvious the World Economic Forum and bankers are going to pivot to climate change. It's part of the Great Reset, yes. Yeah. Since there seems to be COVID fatigue, even with the shit libs, I doubt nuclear power is part of their plan either. Also, Henrik, doesn't Sweden burn garbage for fuel? Very interesting.
Yes, they do.
They did, they need to get garbage from somewhere else because they didn't have
they
garbage.
Imported at some point. Yeah. I forget if they purchased it then or something. I mean, actually, the whole recycle thing is a kind of a circus in and of itself. They're actually, in Sweden, it's so bad that like they have the people doing the sorting and have to clean it and stuff. And then they actually come and buy those resources as they, you know, reuse those things. And we do the work and it's crazy. But
by the way, recycling is not as environmentally friendly as you think. It takes a lot of these toxic chemicals to break things down.
Yeah, no, it's basically a big ruse, right? It's you think you're doing something. Is there some positive thing? Yeah, maybe here and there, but mostly it's just like it's a scam, essentially, and it's a lot of money in it, too. But no, they're actually using, I remember in Trollhättan, where we lived for a while, they had one of those plant. I'm not sure what to call it, but yeah, they're a heating fjärrvärme, I think they call it, which is like remote heating. And they actually had like a, they just burned the garbage and they helped to produce the, I think it's just warm water essentially that you use to run through the radiators and stuff in like you know, apartment complexes and stuff like that. So yes, that is true. All right, let me see if we're caught up here. Are you caught up?
I am.
All right. So what else do we have?
Yeah, here? Well, let's get into the chemtrail thing because
okay, yeah.
We talked about this in Weekend Warrior, I did, but I saw I was trending again in other stories. So folks, pollution is 30% less than it was 20 years ago, which means clearer skies, right? And that's a problem for the cult of man-made global warming, who says that less pollution means there's an increase in global warming, right? So you see these toxic pollution particles from exhaust and other pollution, it blocks the sun. So their solution, their brilliant solution here, is to pollute the skies to stop global warming, except pollute it on their terms without asking any of us. They want to do this via geoengineering or solar engineering, they say, aka, guys, chemtrails.
Yep.
Chemtrails to save the planet. You couldn't make it up. Remember when, like, a decade ago, we were talking about geoengineering, and it was called a wacky conspiracy theory, even though aerial spraying programs were already a thing? Well, check out this little tweet thread here. TRF Climate, could dimming the sun help turn global heating? It might sound like sci-fi, but some are exploring solar geoengineering tech to stop temperature rising. They say it's relatively cheap and simple, while others warn it could be catastrophic. Yes, it could, by the way, and I'll get into that. But let's go down to the third tweet there. One technology, they say, is stratospheric aerosol injection. It involves spraying chemicals into the atmosphere to reflect away some of the sun's warmth, like how volcanic eruptions darken the sky. Special planes would deploy it, costing a few billion dollars a year. So solar engineering, geoengineering, chemtrails, are talking about planes, special planes spraying this stuff out, entails launching sulfate particles into the stratosphere, which in turn creates this reflective haze around the globe. And it's toxic, it's horrible for our bodies, for animal life and the planet, which in turn can actually create catastrophic environmental effects. Yeah. When were we asked about any of this stuff? Never. But it's just funny because, you know, we've talked about, like, the clouds are different. The clouds we see today are not the clouds I saw growing up. They've been doing this, you know, for a while. And like everything else, they never ask us about it. These are evil maniacs. They have to be stopped. They're destroyers of everything beautiful and good, not us. But here we are. We have, this is how insane it is. Less pollution. So, oh no, more global warming. So let's spray shit up into the clouds and in the sky and like, I just can't even believe this is the thing. Yeah. But remember when it was a conspiracy theory and you couldn't talk about this and all this, and now they're just like, hey, this new study says, and scientists are talking about, they're like trying to school us on what chemtrails are now.
Yeah,
it involves special planes spraying chemicals into this, you know, atmosphere.
Right. And there's a couple of different of these experiments kind of going on at the same time. One of them, which, you know, yes, Bill Gates was actually funding part of the project. They were actually going to use a space launch up in northern Sweden, and they actually backed out of it, luckily, to do this solar geoengineering, as they call it, right, to block the particles from the sun. And in that case, it was not like chemicals. It was just like basically, what was it, a bicarbonate or something? It was like a sodium, like it was some very, you know, but it was like a white powder, which essentially they hope then will reflect enough particles to help cool the planet down, right?
Yeah.
So, because it's this.
It was like a calcium.
Calcium
carbonate or something like that.
Let me look like that. Yeah. And it reminded me of like the Reuters story here. It's a while ago, right? They're trying to debunk. A couple of pictures with Angela Merkel on a plane back in 2014. And it was like, yeah, sure, they used planes where they had containers where they put water in to simulate passengers for weight and stuff like that. And it could increase or decrease water in these containers. So it kind of looked like it was, oh, they have some fluid or liquid in these planes or whatever. So that wasn't the point. It was like, okay, well, they do those kinds of things, right? But then it was one where they used a misnomer here. Right? It says, as Reuters fact-checking team previously explained here, the long-debunked chemtrails conspiracy theory alleges that, quote, and this is like, where do you get this quote from here? Governments or other parties are engaged in a secret program to add toxic chemicals to the atmosphere from aircraft in a way that forms visible plumes in the sky. And then they said earlier here, to harm humans. Let me see, what was that? Yeah, here it is. Look at this. Chemtrails program, a conspiracy theory whose adherents believe government figures are secretly dropping toxic chemicals from planes to harm citizens. And I'm sure there's some that believe it. I'm not saying that.
But we've known, like, it's been an aerial spraying program about their fake, you know, man-made global warming crap. But in the process, it does harm humans.
I mean, now they're actually talking about adding chemicals to it, right? But yeah. But in the beginning, it was like just reflective material. You could argue, what is that? Is some kind of aluminum? It is a barrier? What, you know, there's all these
questions. It was calcium carbonate earlier.
Calcium carbonate. That was one of them, which that's not like a toxic chemical to harm citizens. It was like you're misquoting, or like you're misappropriating what some people believe of what is going on. Many people said no, they are actually, they've started with like solar geoengineering because they think they're helping, right, to a certain extent. Now, is there some part of this where it's actually chemicals?
Yeah, well, sulfate or nitrates, you know? These things are bad for us. And they do. They are talking about using that in some of these solutions here, these chemical solutions here.
And they link to this one too, how airplane contrails are helping to make the planet warmer. So here's this, like, how they can twist this, right?
It's amazing.
As you said before, because of less pollution, it's creating more global warming. And also, these planes are creating global warming.
Unreal.
So now we have to add things to the fuel to ensure
save the
that
planet.
It's reflective sun particles so we can cool it down again. These are some of the ideas that are rolling on top of, as we said, the Bill Gates-type funded projects. I forget what the
Dog Whistler said, right? Yeah, now. Bill Gates has a financial interest. That's right. We know this. An enterprise called Stratosphere Control Perturbation Experts.
That's right.
You can look it up. Yep. Exactly. Yep. And there were scientists that were warning, like, hey, this is catastrophic. Your experiments can actually create like volcano runaway eruptions and droughts, and like man-made global warming is not a thing. Okay,
no,
there's
no.
Like 300 reasons why it can't be a thing. It's not a thing.
We're very small, but the impact that we do.
Very, but they're going. They, if you leave it up to them, they will actually create it through stuff like this. You know?
I mean,
let's launch this up in space and see what happens. You know.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is feels like some of them know what they're doing and they're intentionally sabotaging. Like they want, like if there isn't global warming, they will create it, right?
Yeah.
Or in some cases, maybe they will do a hoodwink, so they actually go in a cooling direction if we're in a monitor minimum, and if solar activity is about to be lower than normal or less active, as it sounds like, less active than normal, well, maybe we'll go into a cooling period, and meanwhile that will plant, you know, everyone is preparing for warmer climates. They're engineering seeds to be able to take more drought and heat, for example. Well, what if it goes in the opposite direction? Or what if they do something, actually engineer the weather through things like HAARP or through things like these geoengineering programs where they're actually spraying things in the atmosphere? What if it goes in a cooling direction, and then all of a sudden you have a co-joint collapse of the food supply, because now we have genetically developed seeds to take properties, environmental properties that won't even exist anymore because things are changing so rapidly, right? All these questions, all these balls in the air at the same time that you have to juggle with this. The point is, the more people are getting involved in this, the more screw it gets. Just leave it alone. There's always been ups and downs in the climate. There's been climate change for thousands of years, millennia, ever since, you know, the formation of whatever this is. We've had changes in that. It was subtropical on Greenland at one point, for example. You know what I mean?
Just let Earth do its thing. I dropped a link in there from Medium. You can show it, because this is a good list here. 100 reasons why, I've referred to this many times, why climate change is natural and not man-made. And there's some good even official sources and things in here that just details how.
Right.
It's not a thing.
Right.
It's not a thing. But they're going to run with it like it is anyway, because they're always trying to manufacture something.
Yeah, right? And one of the primary greenhouse gases is just water vapor, right? It's just water vapor. And then it was a clip we showed we saw it. We didn't, I don't think we played it yet, of an Australian politician, I think, or maybe a TV guy was just at, a British might be actually. And he was just asking this one pro-environment, like, oh, we got to change our behavior because of the environment over, like, how much percentage of the atmosphere is water vapor? You know what I mean? Or like, can you, or carbon dioxide, but how much of that is, you know, what changes does water vapor contribute to, you know, so-called global warming? Yeah. And none of them can answer any of these questions. You know what I mean? They're
all. Yeah, and instead of that,
lost.
How about, we do focus on real changes, less mass migrations of people, environmental damages from that, less chemical use, all the chemical toxicities everywhere. What about all this, like, agro farming with these toxic pesticides and fertilizers and all this? Like, there's a lot that we can do if we actually care about the environment. But these are fake environmentalists.
Yeah.
They're just making this up so they can bring in the Great Reset, and it's just another agenda of more control. Right?
They're more afraid of cover than we can worship, more afraid of so-called eco-fascists, yeah. Right, than they actually are of anything else. That's the biggest problem. Oh my God, they want to actually change things in a direction where it would be better for nature and for, for the earth, right?
Yeah, natural. All right. Beetlejuice says they're trying to outsmart nature. That's right. They think they can.
But they're so dumb.
And they're all transhumanists at the end of the day also. Valette says, thank you for another great evening, Red Eyes. I'll be listening to selections from the archive on my road trip tomorrow. Have a cool. good weekend, everybody. Well, enjoy.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a great weekend, you as well. Let me see if I missed a couple here. Explicit X, I think it is. Is that how I pronounce it? Yes. Let me see. As one of your pro-white LGB followers, other letters in the trash with a match. I'm ashamed of my community yet again. Please save us from ourselves. Been with you guys since the symbolism video. Love you both. Well, thank you. That's kind
Thanks.
Of you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for bearing with us here, because we're
some gay bashing.
Not that nice to you guys. Well, I mean, and my point was too. It's like I think I even mentioned it in the F-scale video that we did. Like, look at how the slippery slope that came in. Like, oh, we just want, you know, gay rights or you get married or whatever, and now we're at like kid diddling
pedophilia,
and so they've attached
exactly.
one thing after another on this. It just keeps growing like a monster, and it's like, maybe it's better if that whole thing is just kept out of society altogether. You know what I mean? Because it's just like, if you let this loose, like, it's like Caligula even, times, you know.
Like, yeah, I used to just not care about it. Like, yeah, I do believe like some people are born gay and there's different reasons for that or whatever, and they're gonna do their thing or whatever. But then it's just, I used to be like, oh, live and let live and don't worry about it, and everyone could, you know, you have this idea, right? Socially liberal, fiscally conservative, like that's how I used to be, and now look at where we're at.
No. You gotta, like, keep these movements at bay, and they're piggybacking one worse thing on another already bad thing on top of it, and it just grows like into a dirty snowball. And so, yeah, you got to keep tabs on some of this. But anyway, thank you for the support. Appreciate you. Sciofree says, Henrik, that's a very white man's shirt. Well, thank you. I'm reporting you. Thank you. Yeah, it was. I did get a kind of a Boogaloo-esque one. I'll wear that one day, though.
Yeah, I think our kid was like, he saw it right away, pointed out to me. He's like, what is that? And I was like, what is that?
There's like Hawaii flowers on it or whatever. One more here. Stop wars. U.S. military is the largest environmental destroyer between military exercises, war, etc. Well, that's why Joe Biden is going to go green with the military. Haven't you heard that? They're all doing that now. The electric vehicles, like the Prius tank.
Yeah, because war is so green. It's, you know, dropping right. bombs, I mean, is just so environmentally friendly. It's just like asinine.
So as they're funding Ukraine to the tune of billions and billions and billions and dropping these bombs and weapons, and they can't even manufacture it fast enough before it's being used in the theater over there, we have to go get screwed over and limit gas in our own countries. We can't even heat our homes anymore. Now they're setting up cooling center in the U.S. during the summer because of rolling blackouts. They're setting up warming centers in places like Germany and France for the coming autumn and winter because people won't be able to heat their homes. That's insane. That's literally insane. You're doing these things, one is to get at Putin. That's part of the argument here, is this is a transition over to the greening of the industry, right? The greening industry. So they're doing this to save the planet while, as you said, they're dropping bombs, which is literally one of the worst things you can do. It's crazy.
Well, and something funny, you know, years ago, like speaking of chemtrails, God, this is like 2008 now. Henrik, around the time we got together.
Yeah.
I had written, my brother and I wrote music, and we did a song. I wrote a song called Toxic Hue, and it was actually about chemtrails. Yes.
What year was it again?
2008 that we did it. My brother did all the music. I did all the vocals, the melody, the lyrics,
so now
all
we
that.
Are 14 years 14 later, years they're talking about this. Like, no, let's do it. It's actually a great idea. We can stop global warming.
But the funny thing is, the song has been licensed as background music. It was licensed in like several TV shows, and one of those was called the secret circle that ran CW. I don't know, like ran a couple seasons or whatever. It's like some teeny bopper show or something. But I was sent the trailer for it, and there's the clip of the song in there, which is hilarious. So
do you want to play it?
We should play it.
Right. I'll launch your pantaloons.
I think maybe I can help. Where are we going? You'll see.
There's the song.
It's okay, Cassie. Finally.
Hey, neighbor.
Okay, this is getting really weird.
This looks like a great show, too, by the way.
It's awesome.
What's going on? We're different. You're different.
Oh, for God's sake, spit it out. You're a witch. You're a full-blooded, 100% witch.
Oh, it's a witch show. Look at that.
Yeah.
This is beyond crazy.
Ancestry is part of a legacy that dates as far back.
It's so compressed.
Ancestors.
It's so compressed.
Yeah, you can hardly hear it.
It's hard to hear.
I'm a witch. Like your mother and her mother. Each family has a book. The book contains thousands of spells. We've been practicing, but without a full circle, we can only.
Funny how they love these shows. The witch, the Wiccan shows.
Each of the six families.
You're the
no,
six.
It's not paganism. It's a new age.
It's funny though, because in the lyrics that they use so that's it for like a minute song. And a half or something. Yeah, it's called Toxic Hue, but it's just funny because it's like talking about. Governments lying and depopulation and all this stuff, and they're like using it.
Let's throw it in a Wiccan show, like a New Age witchcraft show. Okay, great. Oh, all right, well, that was in there.
That's funny. Blast from the past.
Ah, yeah, cool stuff.
Full circle conspiracy, right?
There you go. We're back in the good
Dennis old Frazier
days.
Says, "Thank you so much. These fools will never stop trying to convince the public that they always have the answer to problems that don't exist." Great show, guys.
Exactly.
That's right.
Thank you, Dennis. Good to see you, man. Thank you so much for your support. We appreciate it. All right, so let's see, what else do we have here? Well, we got to do the, what about time-wise? I guess we could wrap up. What is this one of them we could do here at the end here?
Let's see, what do you have there? How about the groundhog?
I was just going to say, let's finish off with the groundhog.
But there's a couple more. Yeah, we have groundhog stories, don't we? Mussex Carillion says, random question, do you find it degenerate to partake in enjoying a tobacco pipe now and then? Nah, I don't.
Especially the, raw tobacco, you could argue that there's some actually, like somewhat... good things, apparently. I've heard. They could be totally untrue, but I know that when they process it and add all this garbage, yeah, then it's bad. But actually, raw tobacco, it's harder to smoke that. It's harder, but apparently raw tobacco could be decent, for you and stuff.
I saw someone was asking, too, the name of the band I did with my brother, and it was 30 Day Notice. It was spelled out. The song's Toxic Hue, and it's still actually up on Spotify. I think it's on Spotify.
So. Nice. Yeah,
there it good. Is.
Yeah, go check it out.
Kind of embarrassing, but yeah.
I listened to some songs I did a while back, and it was like, ooh, is that production? Oh,
I thought the music
right, was all right, kind of thing. But then it was like, oh, man, that's how it goes. So you move on, you cover some
actually,
things,
I think,
right?
Well, I think you write good music. My brother is very talented at writing music and mixing and all that. And he's worked with some big bands, but...
real quick, this one. Did you see this? That now the whole recession thing. It's like it's actually official. It's actually started, right? There's two consecutive quarters in a row where you have negative growth, right? And now they're redefining it, and all of a sudden they're beginning to edit the Wikipedia pages for it. 38 edits had been done within like a couple of days,
and they locked it.
They locked it, and they said you can't. This is information control, right? This is damage control, and it's all again, Trump is a puppet, yes, but you would never see this kind of stuff for a Trump, but for a Biden, they do it like bar none, like no problems. Last 3 days, there's attempting to change the definition of recession. And of course, here's the BlackRock boy, Deese, I forget his first name, Brian Deese. Look at this here, covering for this stuff.
Many of you have reported on. As Secretary Yellen said on Sunday, two negative quarters of GDP growth is not the technical definition of recession. It's not the definition that economists have traditionally relied on. There is an organization called
Traditional
Bureau of Economic Research. And what they do is they look at a broad range of data and deciding whether or not a recession has occurred. That
has not occurred. Anyway, it goes on from that, but you get the point. Man, these bastards.
Oh, every I know.
It's lying, it's... obfuscating. We're doing a great job, everybody. We're totally not in a recession. Inflation,
everything
gas prices
is fine.
Are going down.
Diversity
20
is
cents.
Our strength.
Yeah, exactly. Lies.
Recession
lies.
Is our strength.
Recession is our strength. It's not happening. But even if it was happening, it's actually good for
And we should celebrate
you.
It.
That's right. Exactly. All right. Did you want to take a couple
of
those there?
Archie says, magic spells are real. Diversity is our strength. Funny, I just said that. Yeah, yep. I do think magic spells can be real. Huh? Oh, yeah. Dog Whistler, I think we need a Smash with Scott to sign off. Thanks for a great show. Insightful, smash enjoyable.
There you go. Yep, you
and
got it.
Have a great weekend. You too.
Brought
appreciate
to you
that.
By Pfizer.
All right. Should we look at the ground?
Is yes, it, this groundhog.
I,
no.
What I thought when I saw this is kind of like, this is what I feel like. How we're the farmers, right? I mean, not us just here in this room, but I'm saying like us as a people, right? The Europeans, we're the farmers. And then all of a sudden someone comes in and they're stealing our shit right in front of our faces. And in fact, they make fun of us as they do it. I mean, he's a cute groundhog.
You know what
you
I thought
what
of?
Saying? No.
I thought of Virginia and our garden and how we were warring with a couple groundhogs and how you came this close to getting
that's
one
right,
once. Just like went out there. It was eating everything. And they wait until it's perfectly ripe to go and just snatch it off. And
yep.
You know,
want to see it?
And it's just like you kill one and there's like 10 more.
So he, you know? So the groundhog steals the farmer's
they're
crops.
They're so cute though.
And he walks up in, I mean, don't ask me how this happened, but he goes to the security camera
they're
that
smart.
He has to intentionally stick it to the farmer.
He just this. Had a feeling it was a good spot. That's my profile. Oh my gosh. Look at that perfect head of lettuce.
Yeah.
Perfect carrot. Oh man.
That's good.
And an apple too?
Yep.
God, eating everything.
Oh my gosh. I'm gonna kill you.
Oh man. Chew with your mouth shut, buddy. Frustrating. He's like, yeah, that was good.
Why does he line up exactly in front of the camera?
He just
all right, that was funny.
It's just a little spot that he likes. But yeah, they're really frustrating. They're really cute and really frustrating. Mm-hmm. And they're really smart.
Yep.
They're really smart and they know how to break into everything.
God. All right. That's funny. All right. I think we're good there, guys. We're going to start wrapping up here for today. Appreciate your time. Thank you for staying with us. As usual, of course, a little plug here at the end, a little shameless plug. Check out the F-scale video we just did. That's up at redassmembers.com. Find out exactly how fascist we are, according to the commie, Theodore Adorno. It's kind of funny. Then we have Oskar Svartar is up on members right now as well, but it will go up a little bit later today, possibly early tomorrow on the main channel, so check that out. But right now it's up on the members section. So if you want to join us over there, redicemembers.com, sign up for membership, $10 a month. If you sign up for a one-time payment, it's we have subs from 3 months up to 2 years, and I've said it many times, but if you get a two-year one, it gets cheaper, 35% off, something like that. You can sign up at entropystream.live/redicetv for, well, they both have a subscription option, actually. So if you want it recurring, $10 a month, you can do that there. Choose custom or the platinum option over there. Otherwise, you can do a one-time payment. And then we have, where's my stuff at here? Let me go up full screen. We have the Cash App as well. That is an option. Where are we? Here we are. Cash App, that's open. If you want to use that to sign up, you can do that. We have an e-check option for the U.S. audience. We do accept crypto, and we have a mailing address as well. And so always remember, and there's still some of you guys, you've signed up over on Subscribestar. We've sent you a DM over there. We don't have an email for you. We just have a username. We search and try to find you at redassmembers.com. But if you don't drop us a message or let us know, or at least use your email or something in like a message, we can't connect your and activate your account. So always remember, if you've signed up and it's not activated, write to us. DMs on Subscribestar works. Otherwise, redice@protonmail.com. Let us know what username you have on both.
Yeah, and we appreciate everyone taking that extra step while we are banned from all the other easy systems.
I keep repeating about that. I forget we have newcomers coming aboard and they don't know. We've been like banned by Wells Fargo. We're banned by
we can't do credit
processors.
Card processing.
No, on the back end, we don't have APIs and all that stuff. So it's more admin work for us, more nonsense stuff we shouldn't spend time on. We have to sit, and we appreciate that. I mean, this is great.
Yeah,
of
we
course,
need
you
it.
Guys are signing up, so we're not complaining. But you're saying, you know, ideally, these would be like everyone else has. They're just automatic. They're
runs
on the background. It's quick. You get instant access. No, but they want to try to shut us down. But by the grace of your support and all the good intentions out there and everyone helping to spread the word, we're still here. We're doing very good. So thank you so much, everybody, for your support and for keeping us alive as it goes. All right. I think, is that it then?
I think that's it.
Yeah, Weekend Warrior coming up next. So heads up on that. That's always a good show, exclusive for members. But again, a lot of good stuff for you guys in the member section. Let me check one last time. So we don't have anything on Odyssey. Let's see here. Let me see here. Zyofreak says, remember, they changed the definition of vaccine when they started pushing the mRNA, et cetera. That's right. They changed that. They did, what was the, it had to be attenuated virus or something like that. I forget the old, now it's just any therapeutic, I think, or something like that. That's what they do. They always change the definitions. Explicit says, a lot of us faggots need a good bashing, in my opinion. It is us allowing all those letters in, that letting those letters in. Yeah, exactly. That's the real problem. Yeah, I mean, it is. It's always that. I mean, it's, you could argue the same for, like, you know, there's immigrants who are like, oh, well, I'm not supportive of all that. I'm going to speak up then. You know what I mean? Like, fire back of, like, oh, you're not pro-Europeans being replaced. If you're an immigrant or something, well, be vocal and be active and like pushing back against that then or something, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So that's a good tip. Like help out, push back. Stellaris says thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. I think we're caught up there, Lana.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll be back with more soon, guys. Thank you so much again for joining us. We'll see you guys next time. Take care.
Bye.
Stay brave.
Do you love Red Ice? Want more? Get access to exclusive material by signing up for a Red Ice membership. You'll be able to watch Weekend Warrior, our flagship show, the second hour of interviews, and other special feature videos only for subscribers. Were you a member and we lost you along the way? Renew! We love and appreciate you guys and gals and cannot do this without you. Help us be a sane voice, a lighthouse in the sea of insanity. As times get tougher, as people are searching for answers, they're going to need content like Red Ice. A little of all your support can go a long way. Thank you.